Yo, I'm in 5 halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
This is Chrissy Annie, CNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Eric.
I'm Al Stokes.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. And welcome once again to another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, once again, it is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, and personally, I just spent the last 3 hours with Genesis, and I had a blast. Sat back, had fun, great time. Yes, Sonic the Hedgehog is still awesome, but I can't say the same for the TNA pay-per-view. But before we get into that, let me introduce my cohorts for this episode. We have, of course, the Thunder from Down Under, Mace, who is going silent on me, screw him. We have our resident... You don't talk, you don't get intro. We have with us Will, of course.
Hey, yo.
Oh, so you're alcoholic tonight, too.
Uh-huh.
We also have the Spud guy.
I played WoW for 3 hours instead of watching that pay-per-view. Oh,
good man, that's what I expect. We also have with us, of course, Mr. Tim Stein.
Hola.
And, of course, for tonight... a very special guest.
Guess who's back?
I used to be broke, confused, no joke. Got used, smoked dope, paid dues, refused to give up quick. Now there's 10 million motherfuckers on my dick. So what? Say how, say who, fuck what, fuck me, fuck you. Come see, you know I will. Drink a fifth of Jim Beam and still stand still. I'm the illest fool, cooler than the water in a swimming pool. Fly like a seagull, kicking like a mule, more jams than a beetle from Liverpool. I deliver a fool.
So, the night starts off with... TNA on pay-per-view. I'm a little excited, hoping that we're going to see a new era. I get about a match and a half into the damn thing, and my laptop explodes. So I missed everything tonight. I'm reading now to catch up on what I missed.
Your laptop exploded?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a ho-hum pay-per-view so far, but...
My oven did that once.
I don't know what happened. The keyboard stopped working, so I plugged in my external keyboard. And when I say stopped working, Like, I would hit the letter B, and it would open up the shortcuts to my favorite menu.
Oh, nice.
I was trying to type in the window to you guys, and I was having keyboard issues, but I couldn't spell the word keyboard without opening up about 7 windows. So I finally...
I'll tell you what it is, Trey. I'll tell you what it is. It's the power of the Hulkamaniacs, brother.
I guess. So I finally said, fuck it, and turn it off to reboot. I thought, man, I need to reboot. Well, then it wouldn't come back on. Like, the computer would just not turn on. So I called Sony, and finally Achmed got me worked out to where I could come back on online.
Achmed at Sony. How may I help you now, please?
I don't know what his fucking name was, but he's probably a terrorist.
Achmed made your laptop a bomb.
But he's like, we're going to need you to write down this reference number. We're going to send a tech out to pick up your laptop and replace blah, blah, blah. And I go, whatever. Trying to watch paper here, Achmed.
Damn.
So, I don't know. I didn't see anything. I'm not much of a guest tonight, but I'll sit back and listen to you guys discuss and give you my thoughts as they come to me.
Well, the very first thing I want to do, and I want to talk to you specifically about this, Trey, because you've been a very ardent supporter of TNA ever since they appeared on the landscape all those years ago, and we enjoyed watching them on the Wednesday night pay-per-views. They changed the ring tonight. They went back to the square.
I noticed that.
And first off, you think that's a good idea that they did that?
Yeah, I mean... That's one of the things you hear when you talk to people about TNA.
Mm-hmm.
You go, you've seen TNA, right, on Spike TV? Oh, is that the one with the fucked up ring? That's what everybody always says. Oh, is that the one where the ring's all jacked up? Like they got the octagon, and you're like, yes.
And then all of a sudden, and then launch into it.
When I think of professional wrestling, I think of a squared circle, not a 17-sided fucking flippy trampoline.
Okay, so never mind the hardcore fans and the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, for those of you not up on the lingo. when you're targeting the casual fan and you're trying to get those guys who watch WWE all the time, you want to get some of that audience to tune in on Thursday nights, or I guess now the next live Monday head-to-head show will be in March, according to reports. You want to give them something that'll... give them a feeling of familiarity is pretty much, that's a safe bet, would you say?
Well, I mean, that's when you got new people tuning in, and they go, hey, let's watch TNA. All right, you flip over, and they go, what the fuck, what is that? What kind of ring is that? Are there new rules? Are there different rules that go with this ring? Or, you know, you going to pin the guy twice, sleep with his wife, and do a flip off the top rope? You know, just keep it simple, stupid right now. They're basically reborn, but they're you know, in a transitional phase where they're being, you know, reborn basically right now. Go with what's familiar.
There you go. Yeah, you want to give the majority
as many questionable things as you can to make it easier for the common fan, and by God, by all means, do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from a niche point of view, personally speaking, I found a little bit of, entertainment with six-sided ring, but I'm a bit of a purist. I'm old school, and yeah, here come the old man jokes. All of you can shut right the hell up right now. But, you know, as far as wrestling goes, yeah, see, thanks, Will. Thanks for playing along. Checks in the mail. Like I say, I'm old school. I'm a purist. I want wrestling to be in the confines that I'm familiar with, that I grew up with, that I'm used to. Will, what do you think about TNA losing the six-sided ring?
I really couldn't care either way. I mean, I didn't have any problems with the six-sided ring, and like I've said before, it's something that, you know, I was like, oh, well, that's different. Cool, let's watch these guys. I mean, for me, it was something that got me interested, but I mean, if they don't have people who are interested just because of the ring by now, then they're not going to get those people anytime soon.
Okay. Mace, what do you think about them going to the squared circle instead of the six sides?
To be honest, I that sort of ruined it a little bit for me. It could be just the fact that I've been so used to watching the six-sided ring for, well, how many years? What are they looking at? 4 years or something they've been using it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I got so used to. The second they took it away, I didn't really feel like I was watching TNA anymore. Like,
okay.
To me, it felt like I was watching a MediaCorp episode of Raw rather than actually watching a TNA pay-per-view. But
gotcha.
The thing that sort of really got to me was Hogan standing in the ring with Bischoff. The crowd is chanting, "We want six sides." And Hogan basically just turned around and said, "Look, fuck yous. I don't care what you want. We're doing what I want now."
Now,
you know,
I'm
he basically turned around and told the fans, "This is what I want. You like it or you lump it."
Okay, so I'm just going to assume that you paraphrased and Hulk Hogan didn't really say fuck you?
Yeah, I paraphrased.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that he didn't, like, you know, write character or anything like that on pay-per-view TV. Omega, what is your opinion of the squared circle as opposed to the six sides?
Well, I didn't mind the six sides so much. I think I discussed my only problems with that being that it alienates people who are coming into the company, considering everyone's used to a four-sided ring. The big problem, or rather the big thing that set it, the big advantage for the six-sided ring, was it set TNA apart. You know, you flip through channels and you see a wrestling ring, you know it's TNA the second you hit it. So by going back to four sides, they have eliminated what really made them stand out at a first glance. And instead of going in a different direction to make sure they still look different, we got red ring ropes, black turnbuckles, then a gray mat, and it looked like an episode of Raw with a half-filled arena.
Oh, and the WCW ramp.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, it was ECW, but, you know, they both used it.
Okay, and finally we go to our resident Chowderhound, Spug. You made a comment in our little backroom chat here about how you love how people bash that six-sided ring. What do you think about TNA going to the squared circle?
It's stupid. It's dumb. Listen, I understand you're trying to start over, and I love, and I get that you want to redefine TNA with a new logo and go back to six-sided ring and bring in as much from WCW as you possibly can without calling yourselves World Championship Wrestling. But you are alienating people who put up with your shit product for years in hopes of a brighter day. When that crowd started chanting, "We want six sides," Hogan, you should have fucking listened. I'm telling you what, dude. Hogan is going to be the death knell of TNA. For a while there, I thought he might be the savior. He's going to be the death knell.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure I'm going to agree with you 100%. Now, we had a question in the chat room a little bit ago. What are they going to do for the Steel Asylum without the six-sided ring? Here's a thought, and I think we haven't seen the last of the six-sided ring. Here's the thought, though. TNA does gimmick pay-per-views. I mean, they got Lockdown and all this other stuff that they do. They do a few of them. Why don't we assume that for the quote-unquote gimmick pay-per-views, Spug, that they're going to bring back the six-sided ring for those specific pay-per-views?
Because it's stupid to do that. Keep the six-sided ring. Because Omega brought up a point we brought up a while ago about alienating people coming into the company. Well, guess what? The people who have been in the company have gotten used to working that six-sided ring. And for a little bit there, it looked a bit awkward for the people who had been in that company working in the four-sided ring again. It looked a bit awkward for them to make that adjustment.
Okay. Trey from Wrestling News Live, which will be returning soon. Everybody stay tuned for news on that one. What do you think about that idea? Keep the six-sided ring around and only use it for gimmicks.
Oh, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I in rebuttal to what Spugs said there about it looking awkward, then that's just their problem, because if those guys can't work in a four-sided ring, then they're in the wrong business. I mean, most of those guys work more days a week inside a four-sided ring than they do a six-sided ring, I guarantee it.
Well, yeah, they only do what they only wrestle a couple days in Orlando every, what, 2 or 3 weeks sometimes, maybe once on a Sunday.
They also wrestle Wednesdays in so-and-so, and Thursdays in so-and-so, and Fridays in so-and-so. They might take a day off and then back for a pay-per-view on Sunday. So like I said, they work more days inside a four-sided ring than they do a six-sided ring, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Will, starting with Will, then going to Mason and Omega, your thoughts really quickly on keeping the six sides for a gimmick pay-per-view.
Well, you just said, Trey, to keep it simple, stupid, if you're switching the rings for every gimmick and whatnot, then you're just making it more complicated than it is. I mean, you're going to go with the ring, go with one or the other. Don't try and switch them out for the gimmick pay-per-views. I mean, they could probably just rework the Steel Asylum to look like something out of WCW's Thunderdome from way back when, the NWA days. I'm sure they have no problem taking from that, too.
Okay, next up, Mace.
Well, AAA in Mexico did the idea of their normal shows were in a five-sided ring, they produce were in a six-sided ring. But then again, we're not dealing with Mexican wrestling fans, we're dealing with American wrestling fans. So the whole KISS theory is where you want to keep it. And, yeah, like Will said, just pick one ring, stick to it.
Okay. I see where you're coming from as far as that goes. But I'm in favor of keeping the six-sided ring around. But Spug, you got a question for Trey?
I do. And first of all, I don't think the whole KISS theory with American wrestling fans works, because a lot of American wrestling fans are actually fairly intelligent. But back to Trey. Trey, you work in the radio industry, the actual terrestrial radio industry, as your full-time job. And you guys have, I believe you have parabolic mics?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You've used a parabolic mic for how long? Years. We'll say years, correct?
All right.
All of a sudden, you come into your studio one day, and your program director and your station manager hand you the old cast iron billet microphone and say, you're going to use this from now on. It's going to sit right there on your desk in that one little stand, and you have to use that.
Okay.
Now, I've seen those things at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I've seen those things in person. They're clunky. They're hard to move because they don't adjust like the parabolic mic does. Isn't that going to take you a little bit of getting used to?
No, because first off, hold on a second.
Sounds like we're all cracking cans.
It's funny you
bring up. Going for the spinach.
I use both. I use the old mic at my house, and I use the new mic at my radio station. But the thing about it is, with these wrestlers, you're talking about it being confusing to them. Like I said, man, they only work in that ring on Mondays and Tuesdays and Sundays. The rest of the week, they're in a four-sided ring. So it's like if you drove a convertible and a truck, you're not going to drive either one any different if you drive them the same amount of time a week. If you split it up 3 days one week and 3 days the next, you're not going to drive any different because you're used to driving both. And if you're not used to driving both, then you probably shouldn't be in the company. I mean, if you get in there tonight and you say, oh, my God, I can't believe I fucked up that move. I'm not used to the four-sided ring. See how long that excuse will last before you're getting a pink slip.
That's not what I mean. I've been in a six-sided ring. I've been in one. I've wrestled in one. I've worked in one. You have to adjust everything you do because there is more space inside of a six-sided ring than inside of a four.
Okay.
Even when you're doing. When you're throwing them into the ropes, when you're doing anything, there's more math involved, honestly.
Well, you get in the ring, you know what you're getting into when you step between the ropes to get into it, too.
Exactly, but there is an adjustment.
But if you're used to working both, then it shouldn't be an adjustment. It should be, okay, today I'm in a four-side, tomorrow I'm in a six-side. These guys have wrestled enough in a four-side and a six-side to know the difference and to know where they're at, what they're doing, and you know, when they step in the ropes, they don't go, okay, this is a six-side, the finish is a hurricane run off the top. It doesn't matter. It's still a hurricane run off the top. You just need to do the right math and know where you're at when you get there. They, like I said, it'd be different if these guys only worked in a six-sided ring and then, boom, tonight they showed up and went, well, we're going to go with a four-side. But most of their life, becoming a wrestler, most of their life, and still to this day, most of the places that they wrestle, because they don't just wrestle at TNA, if that's all they did, that'd be one thing. But they don't just wrestle at TNA. They wrestle four or five times a week for other indie fans or other, you know, small-time promotions to help pay their bills. They're used to the four-sided ring. It's not an issue.
I've got to agree with Trey
for a second there.
Go ahead, Mace.
With this whole looking awkward in the changeover of the rings, I think a lot of that came from the television production itself, because I don't think that crew has the experience of filming a four-sided ring, because there was a lot of camera shots that looked like they were six sides or trying to put that formula into the four-sided ring, and that's where it's making everything look different from the angles and making it look awkward. But that's just my own little theory.
Well, it could be a case
of... my head off if you like. I got no problems with it.
There you go, Mace. Yeah. It could be a simple case of, yeah, the camera crew needs to work a little bit better at capturing different angles than they're used to capturing. That will come really quickly. That's probably the most awkward thing happening right now with a switch back to the squared circle. Now, my reckoning as far as going to the squared circle, let's face it, those of us who like TNA and are hardcore on the internet are a niche market. We are, you know, like the hardcore fans are the minority. When you're trying to capture or recapture the casual wrestling fan and bring in, you know, the mass market, you have to cater to that mass market. The mass market is not used to the six-sided ring. The mass market knows the squared circle. You've got to sacrifice the 5,000 people who like the six sides for the 25,000 people who are used to the square. And bottom line is, like it or not, we can bitch about it all we want, majority rules. And when you're looking at it from a production standpoint and from the business standpoint, it does make sense. Now, if a lot more people were a lot more vocal about it, and, you know,
I think they were pretty vocal at the pay-per-view, Tim.
Well, again, that's the hardcore group that I was talking about, which is, you know, like 5,000 versus 25,000. Like it or not, you're going to go after the 25,000 market as opposed to that 5,000 market that support you all the time and think they're really smart and really insider, like, you know, all of us on the internet think.
But if you turn your back on that 5,000 market, that's 5,000 less you have. And honestly, for a company like TNA at this current moment in time, any fan is a fan. And you want to put butts in the seats, as Tony Schiavone likes to say. So you might as well try to placate everybody as best as you can.
Well, here's the thing, Spud. You try to please everybody, you will never please anybody. If you try to make everybody happy, nobody's going to be happy. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So with this 5,000 minority, you might lose 2,000 or 3,000, but you still keep that 2,000 or 3,000 that stick around. Again, it's majority rules, and that's the way it is with business. That's the way it is with most things. And that's just what they're working on right now with TNA. They want to get their casual viewership up. Unfortunately, you know, and I'm not siding with them, and I'm not going, you know, I'm trying to be as neutral as I can about this. But basically, unfortunately, there are going to be people who are pissed off with that, and that's, you know, that's the bottom line, I guess you could say.
Let me jump in here real quick. If anybody, and I'm trying to picture this in my head, if anybody was sitting there tonight and turned on the pay-per-view, got out their popcorn, ran off their wife or significant other, you know, had some friends over, ordered some pizza, turned on the show and went, oh my God, those motherfuckers went to a four-side, fuck, turn this, fucking turn it off. Turn it off. Four-sided ring, fuck this. I didn't spend $40 to see a bunch of old motherfuckers run around the four-sided. If I wanted that shit, I'd just watch Monday Night for free. I doubt that anybody was so offended by this four-sided ring that they're instantly going to become TNA haters and turned off the product. I would almost bet my pecker on it right now. Now, with that being said, you might get some people that go, well, goddamn, that was kind of stupid. I like that. But they're still going to watch, and they're still going to spend their $40, and they're still going to tune in on Thursday. That's just the bottom line. It's why we're still talking about this is beyond me.
Is it? I don't think it was really that it was that offensive, but if you remember, you know, 6-7 years ago when this company came out and it started, this was supposed to be the new revolution in wrestling. It was supposed to be the next step. They had the different ring. They had the new look. They had the spot monkeys, if you want to call them that. But I'm not going to bag on the X Division wrestlers. I love them. They had all of that. They were the next step in wrestling. And it wasn't the wrestlers that failed. The company itself failed its workers. Clean and start from scratch is going to alienate a lot more people than you and Tim think.
Well, here's the deal, though. Did you ever try anything that just didn't work, no matter how cool you thought it was or how much you liked it? It didn't work. I had a mullet when I was a kid. By God, that didn't work for me, and eventually I had to
practice.
You know? After 7 years, TNA is looking at their ratings and going, okay, on Thursday nights, Dixie, what's the rating? 1.1, 1.0, 1.2, 1.0, 1.1, 1.2, 1.0, 1.2. Every fucking Thursday, it's around the same thing. No matter what they do, they're generating the same kind of rating. So eventually, if your money is what's keeping this thing alive, you have to step back, wash your hands, and say, okay, look, whatever it is we're doing is doing okay. It's just not hitting the home run that we're trying to hit. It's just not working the way we want it to work. Yeah, we're getting some success, but we're not getting the success we want. That's like say we're getting our song played on the radio once every 6 hours, but we're not selling out arenas and having huge concerts because we're just not that out there yet. We've already invested X amount of money when this company, the first 3 years, was in the black. You know, we've already invested X amount of money to the point that most owners would have written off bankruptcy a long time ago and said, fuck it. But bless their heart, they stuck with it. They're already so invested, they can't quit now. But by doing the same exact fucking thing, they're not getting anywhere either. It's time to shake things up. It's been 7 years. That whole, well, nobody said we'd last 30 minutes or nobody thought we'd last 3 years, that shit's over with. You're on a nationally televised station with a pretty goddamn good time slot on a night that used to be known for wrestling. You ain't got any excuses anymore. It's time to go to work And now you're bringing in all these big names and these big paychecks. That's because they're trying to shake it up and make things a little different than things have been, because, by God, they tried everything their way, and it didn't work. At least WCW, for a time period, was successful. The only reason TNA is resulting to what they're doing is because they want a little bit of that success, even if it's bad success. Because it wasn't WCW and Eric Bischoff that killed WCW. It was Time Warner selling WCW to AOL and them getting a bunch of idiots that didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And nobody knew who was in charge. Hell, they fired Bischoff. He was out on a lake fishing when most of the shit went down. They didn't bring him back until it was too late. But at least that guy had what it took to be successful. Why not give it a shot? Why not? After 7 years and three networks and weekly pay-per-view later, a company that used to only be on the internet for about 6 months because they couldn't get a televised deal, 7 years later, they're still drawing the same fucking rating every Thursday. Why not turn the motherfucker upside down and see what you can get out of it? I have no problem with that at all.
There you go. Paint her a different color and see something else comes up. Mace, you got something you want to say really quickly here before we move on?
Yeah, we've talked about the ring doing something different. The one thing in this, as I pointed out when I started, was Hogan's handling of the situation with the fans. Basically telling them, hey, I don't care what you like, I don't care what you want, we're doing things my way, like it or not. Was that really the best way to handle it, especially on live pay-per-view?
Didn't they know what he's supposed to be yet? I don't think Hogan knows what... I mean, it's just like on that Monday Night War show. We talked about it on this show. He come out all babyface and, you know, told the band that was the old days, it was time to do something right for the business, and, you know, said all the right things to make you warm and fuzzy, and then came out and totally dogged on Jeff Jarrett in super heel mode, not even an hour later.
That was apparently, though, Jarrett broke script during that.
Well, that's what they say, but, I mean, how the fuck do we know we're not there? You know, I mean, Hogan comes out tonight to a cheering crowd, and then basically says, fuck off. We're doing this my way. You know? You watch. The Hogan cheers are going to start dwindling, and he's going to become more of a bad guy before this is over with.
And we just might see the rebirth of the NWO under a different name, quite possibly. And this may be where a storyline is pointing towards. But I think... You know, we've debated the ring long enough. We don't want to definitely don't want to do a whole hour on the goddamn thing. So, really quickly before we take our first break and then take a look at the matches and the winners, TNA also changed the logo. It's a little less striking and
a little more ugly
anymore. Fuck them.
It's a little simpler. Again, it's the less is more. Talk to me about anything, and I'll tell you right now, less is more. You don't want to overdo stuff. And
the point where my computer blew up tonight, I just remembered. I think it was Mace or Spug in our little private chat during the show said something about how long until Brooke Hogan has a storyline going.
Yeah, that would have been me.
And
okay.
I started to reply, she's already got a storyline, that's why she's showing up at all the events in the front row.
Well, you missed it. You missed it. Linda was there, too.
Really?
The chick in the purple right next... Yeah, the chick in the purple right next to Linda, or right next to Brooke, that was Linda Hogan.
Sure as hell looked like Linda Hogan, Trey.
Are you shitting me?
Nope.
Boy, I don't know about that. That's... I don't know, boys. Because the last time they did that, they showed Brooke, they showed his new girlfriend next to her.
No, that Linda is there. That was Linda.
I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, I would say about 85% positive from the glimpses.
Do you realize how much they hate each other right now? I know that Nick Hogan was there.
Mm-hmm.
He actually managed to drive a car there successfully.
I think somebody picked him up, honestly.
Going driving right now. He's got a chauffeur. But
yeah, he's
I just the whole Linda. But as far as Brooke being there, look, she's tried the singing thing. She's tried it more than once. Yeah, she has had a little success. But it's about time to just come to Jesus and say, you know what? I know what my calling is. You know, she's
going to knock
out division before it's over with.
Oh, God. Please don't give her the friggin' knockout belt. Please.
Hey, who knows what she could do, man? I mean, she might be a lot better than you guys give her credit for.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, stopping you to think about it there, Hulk Hogan's got to pay for the divorce, and Linda Hogan wants money. Who's to say they can't at least, you know, work in the same building, make some kind of a deal to work in the same building together so they can both
one
make money.
One time in the history of life where that's worked out.
Tim, you've been divorced. Does that sound like a great idea?
You do a company, the first person you want to work with is your fucking ex-wife that just took you for everything you worked and bled for your entire life?
Oh, hell no. Stop and think about my ex-wife. I don't think so.
That bitch on the first thing smoking as far away from me as I can fucking get her.
Alrighty then. So everybody, yeah, we're going to take our first quick little time out of the night here. You're listening to Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I'm pleased that we're joined by the trade dog of Wrestling News Live. Right on the other side of this timeout, we're going to be taking a look at all the matches, who won and who lost, what title changes there may have been. We'll break it down for you right after we come back. Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic, and you lead the discussion.
Havlat with start, shoot! What a stop by Kiprasov! Rebound! Oh! An even better start! They score! Justin Boyd!
Jump into the play as you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth. The most controversial man in wrestling radio is coming back to the Free Zone. The Trey Dog is bringing back the fabulous The Bam and taking Wrestling News Live back to the people. Be sure to check out www.wrestlingnewslive.tk for information and updates. And, oh yeah, join the forum and start posting, bitches. Wrestling News Live returning soon on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wow!
you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live. All you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
That song, Curry Dog.
How's that start singing along?
Well, I think shit. Go ahead, man. We got drunk.
It's been a while.
You do it better than I ever could, that's for damn sure. All right, well, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Russ Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yes, that was Trey Dog you heard. If you're just tuning in, Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live joining us at least for the first part. We'll see if we can entice him to stick around as long as possible. But before we continue on, Trey, you got some kind of an announcement you all want to make?
Yeah, I do, actually. This is kind of cool. I don't know the exact night. Shame on me for not knowing this. Somebody will help me out, I'm sure, in the chat room. Hold on a second. I'll be right with you.
All right. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Filling air. Do-do-do-do-do.
All right. So, I got an email a couple days ago from the brass at audiowrestling.com and the Showdown Network. And the executive is in charge of the Wrestling Radio Awards.
Oh, yeah.
And I, yours truly, will be the solo host of this year's Wrestling Radio Awards show.
Wow, very cool.
And for the first year in many years that I can remember, the award ballot and the show itself is really open to all wrestling formats, be it terrestrial radio or internet radio, just the way you could vote. And it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be going on, I believe, the same weekend as the Royal Rumble. And with that being said, as soon as that show launches, you can expect a brand new launch of the Showdown Network as well. So I'll be able to use the airtime to help promote the Wild Talk Radio Network and the shows that are over here. And by the same token, promote myself and the Wrestling News Live return. And on that note, with that being said, people are asking, what am I waiting on? Well, without divulging too much information, the BAM is working out a way to get his schedule to comply with mine, which is really hard to do because mine's about to change again. We hired a new morning person finally for the radio station I'm at, so they'll be taking over soon. But in the meantime, until they're ready, I'm still going to be doing mornings for the next couple weeks. Where I land after that, I don't know. I could go back to nights. I could go to middays. I could go to the unemployment line. Who knows? But with that being said, I don't want to commit to a day and time at this point. And then in 2 weeks, when a lot of things start changing in my life and the BAM's, have to say, oh, sorry, we decided to do something else. So just stay tuned to the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll pop up on a few shows here and there. And when I do, I'll give you the information as best to my knowledge of what's going on. So as long as you stay tuned to this network, you'll hear my lovely voice.
Well, I can't think of anything better I'd like to do except maybe get surrounded by a whole bunch of naked women. But it's hard to talk that
way. Can I ask Trey one thing?
One thing.
One thing.
Good push.
Are you going to be joining us with our Michael Cole drinking contest for the Royal Rumble?
I'm not sure that'd be fair to you guys.
Well, it's more of a drinking game than a drinking contest. Every time we hear vintage, we've got to take a shot.
Listen, boys, because you got to understand that the next morning I got to be up at 4 a.m.
Listen, I traded in my bottle of Tarlike Jaeger for three bottles of schnapps because I plan on going through that much because I think he's going to see that vintage that many times.
I don't know. Yep. I mean, I've read and I've seen where he's trying to tone that down because he's catching so much flack because of it.
Well, you know what, Michael Cole? We're counting on you, buddy. Don't let us down.
There you go. Don't tone it down until after Rumble. That's all we have.
The old song, Dust on the Bottle.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, everybody. I think it's time we finally took
You know, thank you and welcome back to a lot of the old faces that we're seeing in the chat room right now.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people that used to follow you religiously when you were on, what was that, Ucaster, before you went to that network?
I don't fucking know, man. I'm like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man.
There you go. Okay. Well, it's about time we take a look at the matches now, what happened after all. There was a pay-per-view called Genesis, brought to you by the folks at TNA. And starting off, the night opened up with the X Division title match, The Amazing Red versus the first of two quote-unquote major TNA talent signings, the Brian Kendrick.
Woo!
And I don't know how many people actually watched pay-per-view or caught the match at all. Mace, did you get a chance to watch any of it? Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to Will first. Will?
I tried watching it. Our stream was having trouble at the beginning of the show, but all I can think of positive things. Brian Kendrick. What's bad about that?
What did they call him? I missed that. What did they call him when he came out?
Brian Kendrick.
Oh, so he went by his actual name? Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I was out of the house when that happened. Is he still looking like a victim of a drive-by bedazzling?
No. Not completely.
He looked, you know what? He looked like that in ROH, too, when he was going by Spanky. I watched Amazing Red and Brian Kendrick wrestle long ago in the early days of ROH, and they put on wonderful matches. This is one of the ones I didn't get to see
because
I hadn't got home from work yet.
There were a few holy shit chants during the match, and for some reason, this is before my computer exploded, Brooke Hogan was really into this match, and she was really pulling for Amazing Red, and which is kind of funny because they started this whole thing with him and Don West. It got rave reviews, and then they dropped it. They haven't done it again since.
They've more or less dropped Red completely.
They moved Brooke from the nosebleed section to the impact zone to the front row. So that she's on camera almost all night. And she was really, now I don't know if she did this the rest of the night, but she was really cheering and standing and cheering and screaming at Amazing Red. Like when they threw him out of the ring and he landed in front of her, she would lean over the rail and pat him on the back and talk to him. And, you know,
I do believe at some point they started chanting, "Sit down, Brooke."
Yeah.
I wonder if she's got herself a little Mexican gardener, as well as a professional wrestler. He could double as both.
You never know. Maybe that's her end of the company.
There you go.
Maybe
that's
why Homicide wasn't here tonight.
He was raking leaves.
My former co-host swears up and down that he wouldn't fuck her with Spud's dick and Tim Pushing, but I'm telling you, every time I've seen that bitch on TV, all I want to do is unload on her tits.
Well, you know.
I think she's hot. I don't know. Call me crazy, but blonde-headed chick with big titties, I'm kind of into that shit.
There ain't nothing wrong with big-titted blonde-haired chicks, but I don't know. You have to be nuts about blondes for that to really turn you on, I think. Meaning pretty much the entire hetero male population.
All I could see is Hulk Hogan while I was stuck in her. Well, if that's all you see while you're knee-deep in some Brooke Hogan pussy, then you got problems beyond compare.
Brother.
The last thing I can think about is Hulk Hogan's handlebar mustache while I'm laying the meat to Brooke Hogan.
Oh, my God.
I imagine her snatch with the Hogan mustache. That was crazy.
I can imagine going. I can imagine getting somewhere with her. She'd be on the bed, sprawled out, and she'd be all ready. And the second she looked up at me and said, "What you gonna do?" I'd jump out the window.
She wouldn't have to ask me what I'm gonna do because I'd already be in there doing it.
That's one. That's called a preemptive strike. Just so you know. So the winner of the first match, the Amazing Red. So, amazingly enough, they didn't put over the new guy.
I think the winner of that match
because
had to be Brooke Hogan, judged by the reaction we're giving.
What was that, Will?
Because it was for the actual championship. They weren't going to just throw it on to the guy just jumping into the company.
Well, just hit the nail on the head. That was a great match, but the only thing that we can remember is Brooke Hogan and her tits.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, Brooke Hogan, the winner of the first match.
What do you mean, Brooke? I think you mean everyone else.
Okay, there you go. Everybody who doesn't picture a Hulk when they think of Brooke naked. But Amazing Red retains the title. The second match, Sean Morley.
Hello, ladies.
Taking on Daniels. Omega.
My God. No, I'm going to jump in front of Omega on this.
No, hell no.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Omega, but I want to get this one out. Daniels goes from headlining the last pay-per-view to this? What the fuck?
I thought that was my point in our little chat. Did you just bump me to steal my line?
I think he did.
No, I'm agreeing with you as well. So, yeah.
Then credit just him with the line.
Yeah, there just so he can get credit.
Omega did come up with the line, yes, but I'm
what's
sure it's
really
the same
sad. What's really sad about this, not only was Daniels a pay-per-view headliner recently and going for the world title, but Morley, to my knowledge, was more so brought in to be a backstage talent to help with the guys to be more of an agent than an active wrestler. So for him to get the 1-2-3 over Daniels tonight really shocked the shit out of me.
Well, it goes back to my point that I've said for a very long time now that with the people booking in TNA, they're going to put over their buddies and they're going to start to ignore the talent who's carried that company on its back for the last 7 years.
Well, I wouldn't go that far just yet.
That's an assumption. It might happen. It might not. Let's let it play out and see what happens there. But
in the scheme of things, when you talk about people who built that company, yeah, Daniels was there, but he's been back and forth. He's done the Curry Man thing. You know, he's had some good times and bad times with that company, but for the most part, when you look at the people on that card tonight, anybody that was there from the beginning went over. I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody in TNA initially came from somewhere else to start with. And the great fear that the majority of wrestling fans who want to see TNA succeed. I think they're worried that the old good old boys club is going to take over, like what we saw in WCW. And for one, yeah, I don't want to see that happen. I mean, TNA's basic the word's slipping my mind right now. Franchise.
I'm not going to say that the WCW guys of Hogan and Bischoff and Flair and, you know, some of these other guys aren't going to come in here and fuck things up, because they very well could. I hope not, for competition's sake. But you know what? I don't work for TNA, and I'm sitting here in Woodward, Oklahoma with a shitty laptop, apparently, that I thought was a good laptop I spent a lot of money on. And who am I to say? But, you
Never
know,
much.
They're looking right now, like I said, after 7 years, why not turn it upside down and see what else could happen? You know, if you stuck that round peg in that round hole over and over and over again to no success, to no no success and no real, you know, cheers, kind of just a ho-hum, way to go, guys, congratulations, you're there and we acknowledge you. Eventually you're going to take that round peg and try to stick it in the square hole just to see what else you can get out of it.
Just to see, just for a different result at one point in time. But, yeah.
Are we still talking about Brooke Hogan by chance?
No.
Oh,
no.
All right.
No, that'd be two different holes altogether, and I would call them different things, actually.
You just watch out for the chain.
Oh!
So the winner of this match, Sean Morley, goes over Christopher Daniels. I don't know about you, but I want Curry Man back.
I want Daniels to be used for the wrestler he could be, not this fucking shitty ass sideshow bullshit that keep putting him in.
Just give him another fired briefcase.
Yeah. Any comments on that one, Omega?
No. No. I like Daniels too much to actually see him go back to looking like some reject Japanese wrestler.
You know, there's a possibility here. And granted, it's a little few and far between, but if they are in fact going to turn this thing upside down and be different, some of the most successful times in wrestling were when we had factions. You know? What if, eventually, you had your NWO, you had Ric Flair put together a Four Horsemen group with AJ Styles. You know, you could have
who? First of all,
together.
I have a question for you, Trey. I'm sorry. Yeah, we know who's going to be in the NWO. But who the hell are you going to put in a new Four Horsemen group?
Oh, that'd be easy in TNA.
Other than AJ.
You gotta have AJ, who's your ultimate babyface, and everybody's always cheering.
He seemed pretty field tonight.
You could bring in somebody like the Blueprint, Matt Morgan, to be your enforcer. You gotta have your guy that wins, but wins only due to the fact he's a Four Horsemen member. Who could that be?
Daniels.
Daniels needs to have his own group. There's just a ton of people out there you can put in that role.
There's a bunch of guys. You can put Abyss with the new Four Horsemen if you want as the enforcer.
Yeah, but Matt Morgan fits that role too good.
True.
See, I like Samoa Joe as the enforcer. I like that.
But TNA originals, they're going to want to stick together as originals like the WCW guys did with Diamond Dallas Page and shit like that.
Except for AJ Styles. You want to make him the, dare I say it, the Chris Benoit of the Four Horsemen?
Right.
I could see that happening, and I think that would
Oh, I'm not going to say what I thought.
I'm just saying, what if they turn this into faction mania over on the TNA side of things?
I think that might be extremely entertaining. I mean, it's been a long time since we've actually had, like, real factions. I mean, yeah,
you
sure.
You guys like the NWO putting the band back together, then Flair puts together a Four Horsemen group to go against them. Sting leads the Rebels that are the TNA regulars that just want to be TNA stars and stand on their own, but know that they can't do it on their own. You know, and the only way to get over in TNA is to be a member of a group or of some kind. You still got World Elite.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I just point out my choices for the Horseman idea, though? You got your AJ as the Ric Flair of the group, even though Flair's going to manage.
You bring in JJ Dillon.
Desmond Wolfe as the enforcer. And then you got Morgan and Hernandez as your tough as a brick shithouse tag team.
Hmm.
Interesting little combination.
You might have a little bit of merit to it.
AK Simmons says, what about Sting? Well, Sting's the guy that's going to be kind of the head honcho for the TNA stars that don't want to join groups. They'd be the guys left out on their own, but, you know, they still need each other to stand on to stand up to the groups, you know.
Hiding
well,
in the rafters.
Hanging in the rafters.
On camera for about 30 seconds and get that paycheck.
I told you guys when they started this shit, and Dixie had that interview about, I hope Sting comes back, I don't know, blah, 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 that he was going to start showing up in the rafters again. I knew that was going to happen. It's too vintage, too, you know.
Take a shot.
You know, I knew that was going to happen. Now, hopefully that happened for a whole fucking year like it did in WCW. And who's to say he's really there? Those aren't pre-taped segments that they just cut to.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought of the last Impact, actually, when I saw it.
They're going to be paying him an awful lot of money to show up and stand in one place for 10 seconds.
Just be nice to see. It takes him longer to get the hell up there than it does for him to show up on camera.
See, TNA is becoming the old WCW. If they go to this whole group thing, and you're going to remind everybody of the dying days of WCW when you had to be a member of a group to get by?
See, that was good until fucking AOL came in and started fucking with shit.
I think people get sick of that real quick.
We haven't had it since WCW died, so let's find out.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying something, you know. Don't forget, everything old is new again. But getting back to the matches, guys, Sean Morley defeats Christopher Daniels. The next match, TNA Knockouts Championship, Terra taking on ODB, best 2 out of 3. Terra regains her belt.
For how long?
2 weeks.
This is a good question. Go ahead, Trey, sir.
I said she holds it till Angelina Love takes it.
Yeah, I go ahead, Omega.
Nah, I think the Spider's the next champion.
The Spider.
With TNA booking, I just have a feeling.
I don't know about that. But, yeah, no, I can see them doing a program and then Angelina taking the belt. I don't know. Most women's matches is where everybody says that's the bathroom break, so... did you guys take a bathroom break during the match?
Yeah, no, I actually watched it.
You know, I watched that match because, honestly, I like Victoria, and I think she's a fantastic women's wrestler, and ODB isn't that bad. But there was one point during the match where I had to get up and walk away because I was laughing too hard.
Oh.
The stream kept freezing in and out. And right when... Victoria wrapped her up in that tarantula in the ropes, and ODB's yelling. It froze as her mouth was wide open, and the only thing I could think of was, boy, I bet you she can fit a bunch of dicks in there.
You would.
You got to turn everything sexual, don't you, Spot?
TNA presents Pornomania live on pay-per-view.
She's got a...
Brooke Hogan.
She's got a big fucking mouth.
She's got a big fucking everything.
Whoa. big, as far as you can see, at least. Let's just preface that.
Yeah, you sharing some inside info, Will?
You know something we don't?
I got you flask.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, Terra, new champ. She gets her belt back. Best 2 out of 3. Spug, the next matchup, TNA Tag Team Championships. Matt Morgan and Hernandez take on the British Invasion.
You know, I saw a bit of it. It was a good match. I like the British Invasion. I've never seen them wrestle before tonight. The one thing I will say, and Trey said it in our little online, little private chat we had going on, walk up to any real Mexican and call them and call them Super Mex and watch yourself get stabbed in the throat several times.
So I guess my team name with Genetic Spick for them isn't going to go over too well either.
Probably not.
Doubt that myself. Yeah, Mace, your opinions on this match?
Believe it or not, I used this one as a piss break. Because the second the British Invasion came out, I just had this weird feeling that it was, okay, we're going to drop the titles, and we're going to be without a job in 2 weeks.
Disturbance in the force.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Omega?
I honestly didn't pay much attention to this match. I mean, I don't have a problem with anybody. It just, I don't know, there's just something that didn't interest me about this one. I'm glad to see the titles change, though. I mean, now maybe British Invasion can go back to that one faction they were in, the one faction TNA had for, like, a month. That was a lot of fun.
So, yeah, the match was a little bit lackluster overall, according to everybody's opinion. You guys, you might think differently, and that's perfectly all right. We're going to open up the phone lines a little bit later on tonight. Going to give you the number. Let's call in and give your real quick thoughts on what you saw tonight with the TNA Genesis pay-per-view. But, yeah, tag team championship match, the winners, Matt Morgan and Hernandez. And the next match on the card, Desmond Wolfe versus the Pope Angelo De Niro. Desmond Wolfe coming out on top over Pope. What do you think of that, Will?
Oh, you didn't even ask me for the last one. Well, screw you.
Oh, my apologies. If you want to talk about the last one and then dive into this, you're more than welcome to.
I was going to make the point. What qualifies Matt Morgan and Hernandez, some ragtag team they put together, over a team like the Machine Guns? I cannot even begin to care about Morgan and Hernandez when the Machine Guns have been dawdling around looking for something to do, but no, the writing team fucks it up every time when they could be awesome tag champs.
Can I answer this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Simple wrestling booking of Morgan and Hernandez are hot with the crowd. They are the guys with the more wins. That the Machine Guns recently jobbed out to Generation Me, a tag team that's only done, what, 2 matches total? I'm sorry, but when it comes to guys looking like contenders, Morgan and Hernandez were looking better than the Machine Guns.
Right, but the Guns had the title shot last month.
Well, watch the Guns and their lack of ability to win together as a team eventually break them up and put them in a feud against each other. They're going to be that team that keeps trying, and then fails till they turn on each other, and then they're going to have, then you'll have two good separate X Division stars going at it eventually for the title on that side.
Yeah, I think that would be something that I want to see is a feud between those two. That might give us a series of really good matches. They're both great wrestlers. Let's, you know, call a spade a spade as far as that goes. But now moving on to Desmond Wolfe versus the Pope. Will?
I know Nick Anthony, if he hears this, he'll probably rage on his show Tuesday night or whatnot. I said this in our little backstage chat that this sometimes the whole, oh, here's a body part, I'm going to dissect it, can be really boring. I understand the psychology behind it, but just sometimes it's just not fun to watch. And for some reason, Wolf doing it to Pope tonight just wasn't entertaining at all. But, I mean, otherwise, the match was solid. Awesome. I saw some awesome moves I hadn't seen before. Wolf, when he does something to someone, looks like he's ready to just break their bones, and I love it. I'm glad to see he went over.
That's due to your age, Will.
Don't start, Mace. Okay, seeing as you chimed in, your turn, your take.
It was a very solid match. It was enjoyable. They did get to the point, like the crowd did a "this is wrestling" chant. Not quite. This is psychology.
Yeah.
This was basically Desmond Wolfe taking apart D'Angelo De Niro. Might not have enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it from my perspective.
What body part did he work on? Because I missed the match.
The knee.
I can understand him doing that because D'Angelo has some high-flying moves.
Right, yeah. I understand the psychology.
Wolf being more of a mat-based guy coming off his wrestling, I'm doing finger quotations, wrestling feud with Kurt Angle, you know, and having wrestled AJ Styles, I could see him taking the knee out of D'Angelo to ground him to make him more, you know, susceptible to Wolf's offense.
Right, don't get me wrong. I understand the psychology, and there are times when I enjoy it, but just for some reason tonight, watching Wolf and Pope just, I don't know why, I just couldn't enjoy it. I enjoyed the hard hits later in the match, but just watching him dissect the knee just didn't do anything for me tonight.
Okay, so you weren't really able to get into the match.
I could, it's just when they would slow it down and just work on, maybe it's because I was expecting a more hard-hitting match. Like,
so
I came in expecting,
you just needed more build-up.
Yeah, I guess it's because I came in expecting something else and got the dissection. So, I mean, I don't know.
There just wasn't enough. That just tells me there wasn't enough at stake in this match to the winner or the loser, that you needed more build-up and more hype, is what that tells me.
There you go. That works.
Listen, let's not give Nick Anthony any more reasons to nerd rage on Tuesday. But, you know, I can understand where you're coming from. There, Will. It's a lot of fans today aren't like that because they've been spoiled by wrestlers like AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels and Jeff Hardy and RVD. The list goes on and on because they're all spot monkeys and everybody wants the quick payoff nowadays. Nobody wants to go back to the days of psychology and when wrestling was wrestling.
Well, if you remember,
that's the one thing. Hold on, that's the one thing I appreciated about Taz and Tanae as commentators is because they call it what it is, wrestling. They call the moves, they explain everything, and I appreciate the hell out of that.
Well, if you remember, last month, wasn't last month, Final Resolution, when, you know, we were going into the AJ Daniels match expecting a spot fest, and I praised it because they actually did in-ring psychology. Daniels ended up, like, focusing on a body part and working at it. And I enjoyed it. I loved the shit out of the fact that it wasn't a spot fest. But, like I said, I guess it's just because I was expecting something different and just what I got. I mean, Desmond's the technical wrestler, but I guess I expected Pope to be a bit more faster and not let Desmond capitalize like that.
Well, I think that's something I've been expecting from Wolf these days. I mean, all of his matches so far, that's been his MO, is to find a body part, pick it apart, and just, you know, work it over throughout the entire match. And I look forward to seeing that if I'm watching a Desmond Wolf match now. I want to see him break apart somebody bit by bit. I mean, that's something that all wrestlers need to do a little bit of, and for him, that is his entire strategy, and that really works for him for being a psychological wrestler. This match, I don't think, delivered as much as I wanted it to. I like D'Angelo De Niro. I think it's a good gimmick, even though I liked it better when it was called The Rock, but he does a decent job with it. He's good in the ring. Now, considering these two had a match not too long ago, I was just really expecting them to turn it up a notch, and honestly, I think I liked their first match better than this one. It's kind of
maybe that's what it was for me. I'm just because I love Desmond Wolfe to death. Just, I don't know, something about that match just didn't do it for me.
I think Wolf might have set the bar a little too high for himself. If he's on pay-per-view, you expect 5 stars, and sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Well, after the last 2 consecutive matches we got from him on the last 2 consecutive pay-per-views, yeah, this one seemed to be a bit of a letdown, wouldn't you guys say?
He spoiled us. And actually,
and then who's
my friend here, because I'm at her house, because my computer's broke again, she's been watching TNA because for some god-awful reason she listens to us. And she actually said that she liked the Wolf-Desmond match on Impact more than tonight's match.
The Wolf-Desmond match. All right. Did he have a match against himself that I missed?
That would be awesome. That would be a great match.
10 minutes.
Have another drink, Will.
Turnbuckle.
Okay, moving on, guys. The next match of the night: Kevin Nash and the 1-2-3 Kid, X-Pac, Sean Waltman taking on Beer Money Incorporated. Now, before we talk about this and the winners and stuff like that, reports earlier stated that Scott Hall was supposed to team up with Kevin Nash but begged off the pay-per-view because he felt that he wasn't in good enough ring shape physique-wise, look-wise, in addition to having ring rust because he hasn't been in the ring for a long time. And reports were also saying that Waltman was thinking about maybe trying to back out but wound up showing up anyway. So we wind up with Nash and Waltman taking on Beer Money. The winners, Beer Money Incorporated.
Look.
My reaction? That's good. It was a lackluster match. Beer Money got a win, and Scott Hall came out, did drunk stuff, and made things look weird.
Okay, there you are. Omega.
Pretty much the same. This was my piss break just because I was scared of seeing Nash and Waltman in the ring again. Though it's better than Hall and Nash, honestly, because, well, you know what? I take that back because I actually get quite amused watching Hall in the ring being completely inebriated to the point where he can't even stand still for more than 2 seconds.
Okay, Mace.
This one was more along the lines of disappointment. I was disappointed that Scott Hall wasn't in the ring. I was disappointed that Scott Hall didn't try and steal the Boozer Cruiser. I was disappointed that Hall didn't end up looking completely drunk. And I was disappointed in quite a few people in our chat room who thought that ending where Scott Hall pulled the guy over the railing and started beating on him was real and it's going to cost him his job. That's bullshit. It was a plant. Get used to it, people.
Maybe it's because we're all used to Hall being that fucking shit-faced that he would pull someone out of the crowd and beat him up for no reason.
Yeah,
that's probably why they did it.
You're getting played. they're expecting you to boo and hiss and piss all over this. That's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why things are being released from the backstage area that Scott Hall doesn't want to wrestle because he's not in ring shape. It's a work.
Well, then they're doing their job right, and I commend them.
I mean, goddamn, the guy's got the reputation that he's got for a reason. Why not use it to your advantage?
Yeah, they did that at WCW, and it was a terrible feud.
But on the other hand, I can honestly believe that for a moment Scott Hall really did think he was beating up Robert Roode.
Oh, I did too. I was like, why did he pull that guy out of the crowd? What the fuck?
And like I said, the main disappointment was I was so disappointed that Scott Hall did not try and either steal or ride the Boozer Cruiser.
I'm just glad he showed up.
There you are. Spug, your thoughts and thinking and stuff like that.
None.
Okay, moving on.
I didn't watch the match. I can give a fuck less.
There you go. Moving on really quickly. Like Trey said, guys, you're getting played. Just keep watching TNA Impact on Thursday nights. It's going to pay off. Next match on the card. Oh, by the way, Beer Money won that one, if I didn't mention it. The next match, the semi-main event of the night, showed us Abyss taking on the second of two major acquisitions, Mr. Henderson. Wait for it. Henderson. Mm-hmm. Not Mr. Kennedy, because that belongs to WWE.
Woo-saw.
There you go. Mace. Take it, foot.
This is going to be a Will versus Cena-esque rant. I can't wait for it.
Sit back. Get your popcorn.
There you go. We'll keep. We'll save you. Go ahead, Mace.
Oh. I'm trying to say all this without gritted teeth. I did this fucking thing from the get-go. I don't know what it is. Anderson just absolutely pisses me right off. Like Will said, it's like his thing with Cena. The thing with Anderson, he has his entrance, and that's fucking it. He can work to just on the border of being average. His promos annoy the living shit out of me. And the fact that after we hear all these reports about how Hogan likes Abyss and wants to give him this big push and everything, they turn around and job him out to this fucking douche. Ugh. I'm trying not to go absolutely apeshit right now. I'm just calm and nice on this.
Go apeshit, go apeshit.
Frankly, I hope the fucking prick had his ass kicked, that he broke some ribs or something tonight, and we don't fucking see him again, because as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't fucking deserve any spot on any fucking roster. He's got fucking talent. He's nothing but let's call him fucking Ultimate Warrior, because once his entrance is over, go take a fucking piss, go fucking grab something to eat, because that's where it ends. I'm sorry, but getting this guy, they fucked right up. I would have rather RVD. Hell, I would have liked to have seen Leader in the fucking ring rather than Ken Anderson. That's
Shut
how
up,
much I fucking hate him.
Well, think of it this way. You got fucked either way.
You didn't hear me.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, Spug, your turn.
I agree with Mace. Look, I fucking hate Kennedy, Anderson, whatever the fuck you want to call him. I think he's a fucking tool. I think he's an arrogant son of a bitch. And I could give a fuck less if something fucked up in the ring and he died because some fat Jeff Hardy fan fell on him. I hate Kennedy. I really do.
Feeling the love tonight, Omega. What do you think?
Here's the thing. I kind of like Kennedy. I don't like how he works in the ring, but I give him this. He can talk and he can run a promo. I'd like to see him as a personality in TNA. Maybe not so much a wrestler, but I wouldn't mind him seeing around. That being said, I'm pretty sure Mace is going to get his wish at some point because, you know, let's face it, Kennedy or Ken Anderson, whatever the fuck you want to call him, he breaks down more often than Nick Hogan's car, all right? He's got just as much luck with injury.
Ooh. Well, I remember a couple of years ago when Abyss had James Mitchell with him, and they were finally starting to do something with Abyss, and they were just about to give him the world title. And Trey went on this rant that was just Emmy-worthy. You know, he should have gotten some sort of award for this rant because it was perfect. And now you turn around with a guy who has done a lot for your company, meant a lot to your company, and you bring in this fucking tool and you job him out to him? You might as well take an Abyss into the back, put him next to a glory hole filled with kids from the Weaver School, and go, suck off, boy, because that's all you're going to be doing from now on.
I want to ask Trey's opinion about Ken Anderson debuting in TNA.
Don't forget me this time either.
Oh, no, I'm saving you for last for a reason.
Why?
Oh. I really don't care. I really don't care that he's there. I really don't care that he's going by Mr. Anderson. I think he's the kind of character that they should have brought in the day his release was finalized and his no compete was over with. Let him, if they're going to take shots at Vince, let him be the guy to do it. I mean, at least he was recently fired by the company for no fucking reason whatsoever, you know, in his eyes. He's the one that could have come in and spearheaded the fuck Vince deal, and, you know, they could have had some legs with that. But to bring him in and put him in the ring with Abyss and then give him the win just sets Abyss back so far that he's back to being worthless again.
I don't know. In my opinion, he got slammed into some kind of a black hole, pardon the pun. Will, war's open.
Why did you throw that mint in the trash, you dumb cunt?
Fuck you.
Wow. My God. Okay, so that's your opinion, is it, Will?
No, what?
I said you're up, dumb numbnuts.
Why did you save me for last?
Well, just do
I just
it.
Want to know. It's like you have expectations of me, and like Scott Hall, I'm probably going to let you down.
Well, do
because
it.
Because you're the most positive about TNA than most of us, especially when it comes to this Anderson dickhead.
Yeah.
So,
I'm probably the only one who is maybe positive on Anderson. He's got charisma. I will acknowledge that his ring work is subpar, but I like the guy. As for him coming in against Abyss, I'm so tired that poor Abyss, all the shit he's put up with, is almost on levels of Kane in the WWE. The only thing they haven't done is let Abyss go into an angle where the Triple H of the company ends up fucking a mannequin in a coffin.
Oi. Give it time, it'll happen.
Just might. Okay, so not everybody's a big, huge fan of Ken Anderson. I don't know. I like him on the mic. I don't like him in the ring. That's just me. Moving on, we're looking at the main event. TNA World Heavyweight Championship. AJ Styles taking on the Olympic champion, Kurt Angle, and the winner, AJ Styles, thanks to Ric Flair interfering. They gave over half an hour to this match, Will.
Yes, they did.
What do you think of it?
I'm kind of actually perplexed. The match itself was solid. I'm not sure where to rank it in a series of AJ Angle matches, but it was a very good match, a good way to end what was, in some people's eyes, a very lackluster pay-per-view, especially with this being the first of the Hogan-Bischoff regime.
Uh-huh.
But that ending just perplexes me. I mean, when you saw Flair, you knew someone was getting screwed. But for them to turn AJ heel, or at least they seem to be teasing a heel turn, that just don't set right with me, because AJ's like the guy that they need as the face of their company in a positive way right now.
Hmm.
And just, I don't know, I want to see where this goes, because I'm just looking at it going, what? Glug glug.
Okay.
Oh,
so
I have another.
Go ahead, Spug.
Sorry, Will brought up something and it made me think. I have another WCW comparison for you. When Hogan came into WCW, he was a big face, and he instantly was the biggest star in that company. AJ is a big face and is the biggest star in that company and has been for a while. What did they do to turn that company on its head? They turned their biggest star, their biggest face, heel.
But that was interesting because No one remembered that one little stint where Hogan was heel at the beginning of his career. His whole career since he had got famous, he was face. So Hill Hogan was like, whoa, anyone who's been dedicating any time to TNA, AJ was heel when he was part of the Angle Alliance. He was heel way before then, when he was with Russo. So, I mean, it's not the first time he's been heel. It's just a weird time for him to be heel.
Interesting.
That comparison, Spud, you could also say by the same token, when they brought in Hogan to WCW, the match that they wanted was Hogan versus Flair, and Flair ended up working more with Sting, making the WCW, you know, local babyface more of a hero than Hogan, and that's what they're going to end up doing with AJ. AJ is going to be the young Sting of this company.
I was just throwing out another WCW comparison, but thank you for helping make my point further.
All they need to do now is set the hard camera on the other side, and it's just going to be perfect WCW setup.
Well, you know, guys, WCW did have a heyday, and it did have good times, and it wasn't the people that we are watching in TNA right now that buried TNA. That's a different topic for a different story. We'll get into that at some other point in time when we don't have...
They'll make debate on Hogan.
There you go. Omega, your turn.
Oh, still talking about this match.
Really quickly.
Okay. Oh, well. I don't think it was I don't think it was the best match these two had ever had, which is it was unfortunate because it is the first pay-per-view in the Hogan era for TNA, and the first one after the big Monday Night skirmish, I guess. I was really hoping for more than this match. I mean, I liked that they gave it a lot of time, and yeah, it's always going to be a solid match between these two. That being said, I wasn't a fan of the ending, because I don't think... I mean, look how many times these guys have wrestled. AJ's gotten the better of Angle several times now, and he never needed to do that. I mean, I know they're working up this thing with Flair, and I don't know if they're going to go kind of anti-hero face or actually going to turn AJ heel, which has never worked, by the way, every time they've tried it. I honestly don't know what they're thinking with this one, and honestly, the match kind of disappointed me on that level.
Okay. Understandable. Mace, final words is yours, of course, aside from mine, so go ahead.
Like it's been said, it was a very solid match. personally, I was still fuming over the whole Ken Anderson bullshit when this started, so I wasn't really paying as much attention to the screen at that point. That Arnold Schwarzenegger came on for the Golden Globes and decided to call Avatar Abidar. So I was laughing too much at that point. But yeah, it didn't exactly feel like this was the end of their feud. This sort of still feels it's in the middle for me anyway. I'll probably have to go back and watch it again to get the full effect of the match. But yeah, it was... it's just one of those things. It doesn't feel like it's over. The ending was absolutely brilliant. I thought it was a perfect thing to do at this point in time, especially naming AJ and Flair up in a heel role.
Wow.
And, yeah, that's about all I'm going to say about it because, yeah, I'm now hearing Arnold Schwarzenegger in my head going, Avidar.
There you go.
Avidar.
Hey, Trey, you got a comment?
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody brought this up. This result is going to have to be overturned, or they're going to have to say, okay, look, boys, we're going to do this one more time. For the simple fact that the stipulation was Kurt Angle can't wrestle for the title for the rest of the year. Are you kidding me? Kurt Angle on a roster where he can't wrestle for the world title for a year? What are they going to do with the guy? He becomes useless.
It sounded to me it was just as long as AJ was champion in 2010.
The way I understood it was the year 2010, he will not be allowed to wrestle for the championship belt.
Oh, no, I think, like they kept saying 2010, but I think that's the same stipulation they had in WWE with John Cena and Randy Orton. I think that's a small...
If that's the case, then look for AJ to have a short title run, because you're not going to have Kurt Angle on the roster and not in the title picture with nothing else going on to distract him.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'd like to see, I'd let you Hogan as the big man and the big cheese.
Let's Bischoff to get together and have a big hubbub about this to open up Impact, where they say this isn't going to happen on their watch and blah, 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 blah. This isn't why they came there. Flair, they'll call him out. They'll call AJ out. That sets them up against the Hogan regime.
Yeah.
All that was is a setup. They'll overturn the decision, or they'll have a rematch.
And then doing that will actually help set them apart a little bit from what Spud keeps talking about them looking too much like WCW, I think.
Let's not forget that the one thing that set TNA apart from the WWE in the beginning was, in a title match, if there's a disqualification, the belt can transfer to the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used that stipulation once. Poor Abyss got screwed.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to make you look good. Oh, by the way, you're going to win it by disqualification.
Yeah, that doesn't make you look good, I don't think, if you put in a stipulation like that and it actually comes to fruition. But, that's just me. I'm sure they've got some kind of long-term plan for this storyline. But there it is, everybody, in the books, TNA Genesis, the rebirth of the new look, TNA, as it were. Overall, I have to say, I feel let down by this pay-per-view. I'm not going to bash TNA like other shows have a penchant for doing all the time, just because they love to be the cool kids and say, oh, TNA sucks, listen to us a lot more, and yada, yada, yada. TNA roped me in with their live show going up head-to-head against Raw on January the 4th. I watched the live TNA Impact and thought, yeah, it was still doing pretty good. I like the direction they're going. Watch the pay-per-view tonight. I don't know. Maybe they drove my personal expectations way up higher than they should have, but I was expecting something more. At one point in time, Mace, you said that this to you felt sort of like a Raw episode, an extended Raw. I can understand what you're saying with that. I'm not going to go there completely. I got to give the show, and I'm a pretty harsh critic as far as I'm concerned. So my C pluses might be somebody else's B minuses. I got to give it a B minus. Will.
I don't know. The placement of everything was terrible. Hogan came in like 2 weeks before the pay-per-view and they shook everything up and fucked everything up. I'll give this pay-per-view a little leeway and I'll wait to see what they do next month. But this pay-per-view was like a C. Average, very average.
Okay, there you go. Let's see. Spug.
C minus. Whoa. Absolutely a C minus. You have established stars in your company that you were jobbing out to newer talent because they worked for the people in Connecticut. Why? Especially the Sean Morley Christopher Daniels thing. And it's not because I'm a fan of Christopher Daniels, which I am. It's Sean Morley was brought in to be more of a backstage guy than an on air personality, and he's beaten Christopher Daniels, who was in your title match last month. Forget that. You're still fucked up. You still can't figure out how to do things the proper way. Guess what? C minus for them.
Okay, there you go, Mace.
I'm going to throw out a D on this one.
Oh,
after a great live show, followed very average Impact, and from what I watched tonight, there was like very few salvageable bits of enjoyment out of this entire show. In the end, I just got really disappointed in it.
Okay,
so
Omega.
It's a stick.
One second. Mace. If Ken Anderson hadn't appeared, what would the score have been?
Probably a C+.
And if he appeared in the and if Ken Anderson came out and the lighting rig fell on him,
They go up to probably a B.
There we go.
What about Fat Jeff Hardy fans? You get a Fat Jeff Hardy fan to fall on him too?
Where would the I'd Fat give Jeff
as well,
Hardy
as well as the Lighting Rig, then that'd be an A plus.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And okay. It killed Cena at the same time, just because.
Just because it's TNA and Cena's in WWE.
No, because that's how big a Jeff Hardy fan is.
Okay, that works. Trey, it sounds like we got a couple of pretty harsh critics on the panel tonight. I don't know, B minus.
I had a score to throw out. You Canadian bastard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did. Go okay, really quickly.
C minus.
Okay.
Not only average, but disappointing.
Okay, good enough. Like I was saying, Trey, I gave it a B minus. I'm not looking at the trees here. I'm not looking at the pay-per-view, but I'm looking at where they can go from this now because of what happened tonight and feeling a little bit disappointed with what I saw. I want to tune into Impact on Thursday night and see what they do to pick up the pieces. What's your overall grade? What do you think?
Well, first off, let me say I'm not qualified to give a good grade because I missed most of the show.
Oh,
but after watching the results and hearing the results, I will give it a solid C. And the reason I'm giving it a C is because I see what they're trying to go with a few of their angles. Let's see how they get there. If you at all inside yourself anywhere have a little glimpse of anything looking forward to Impact to see what they do because of tonight, then they won.
Yeah.
So you can't fail them for that. So let's see where they go. Let's see what they do. And remember, this was only Hogan's first pay-per-view, and he hasn't even been there more than 2 weeks.
There you go. I think that's
let's see what happens at the next pay-per-view before we start judging Hogan's regime.
There you go. Will, you had something really quickly to say?
Trey, what do you rate Sony and their customer support on tonight, then?
Well, they got me back online, so I guess I got to give them an A. I'll give them a B because I can only understand about every third word.
But you are being able to surf online, are you not? Would you like our gold package? What the fuck? All right, everybody, so there it is.
You just killed us. That,
yeah.
Commercial, now.
I
don't
know.
Even answer it. Go.
Yeah. Everybody, there it is. TNA Genesis pay-per-view. Don't go anywhere. We got more coming up. Next, we got the great debate. So you might want to stick around for that. Then we got some roundtable happening. And if we got time, we're going to have a little quick game that we're going to play. And it might be fun if we have time to get to it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. This is what happens when someone drunk dials CB radio.
Rock!
Fuck.
We decided we were going to go out, and I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I'm never going to get fucked up. Crazy a little tipsy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight, so I'm going to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Hot pig sex. I'm gonna go to BP, live on the air. Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
I should walk in there with no pants. Walk in there. I should walk in there with a pants on my ankles and ask where the condoms are. No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean-looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
My dear suspected.
You stupid dog. Okay, when you sit there and wave at people that you're closed, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it. I love you.
I'm
going to say
I don't know you.
No, we're
up to Yale.
All right.
Can I
pack
the rest of the box?
Please tell me he has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I'm outside. I'm not going to... The
person at the
fair.
Do you guys have any condoms? There's a girl who has more VD than Rita, who is coming. Just one.
I can't breathe.
I can't take a mistake in the machine. If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I caught him thinking about some bandanas where you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight-ish to see who will drunk style TV radio next.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Guy, if you know what's good for you, hey, welcome back to Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And Trey, you mentioned earlier you saw a couple of names floating around the chat room that you haven't seen for a little while. I just want to give a shout out to AK Simons, Cowboy Chick, Dustin D-Man 85, Glenn Dragon Man, K8729, Miss Destiny, hi Lisa, Necrosanji, or however you pronounce that, and of course got the Punk Rock Kid. And there's Randy from El Paso. Yes, Randy, you'll be able to call in a little bit later on. Tony O in the chat room as well. If you want to get a shout-out, then type slash Nick and then put a nickname in there so we can see who you are. Trey, it's been great having you on, at least for this half of the show. I guess you got to bail because 4 a.m. comes early.
Yeah, man, I got to be on the air in, 6 hours, so I'm going to try to sleep for at least 4 of them. So.
Oh, there you go.
I will see you guys on here throughout the week.
Sounds good. Everybody, there he is, Trey Dog, Wrestling News Live. Don't forget the forums are now up, www.wrestlingnewslive.tk. If you haven't been there yet, bookmark it and start posting on the forums, bitches. That's all I got to say. Thanks, Trey.
All right, you guys behave yourselves, and I'll catch you somewhere down the line on Wild Talk Radio Network. Peace.
There you go, everybody. Trey Dog, Wrestling News Live, joining us yet one more time here on WTR Sunday night. Trust me, won't be the last time you hear from Trey on all of the, actually, you know, all of the programs we've got going on. Speaking of which, before we get into the great debate here, I just want to talk really quickly with Spug about Wednesday night. We're going to do a hot show, Spug.
Yeah, about fucking time.
Yeah, no,
there was this show. There was this show on here called Fire on Ice, but, you know, the host never showed up, so.
They've been playing on Wednesday nights, so the show's been preempted. Anyway, we're going to be talking hockey, seeing as you're getting into it now that you got NHL 2K10. This will be interesting as all hell.
I've been into it for a while, you douche. Who called in all the time and talked hockey with you, huh?
Anyway, we're going to be doing that all night long, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, or thereabouts. So if you want to learn a little bit about the coolest game on Earth, tune in. That being said, you know what, guys? It's time. It's time. It's great. Debate time.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate. From the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
It's Gable! It's Michaels! It's... No! I can't believe it! 2 years in a row!
To the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
It's Flair from behind!
We are in search for the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line. Now step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
Oh, yeah, there it is. The great debate, the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time, kicking off the new great debate. Thanks very much to Randy from El Paso, Texas, by the way, who sent us in this round. And hats off to you, Randy. Yeah, you'll be able to call in. Sure, why not? Speaking of which, the telephone number to get in touch with us, 888-357-9876, option 1. Phone lines are now open. As we start the great debate, last week's winners were, if I remember correctly, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan in round one. And round two tonight, we have, initially, Brock Lesnar taking on Bret Hart and Triple H versus Lex Luger. Starting off with Triple H versus Lex Luger, we're going to start with, oh, what the hell, we're going to start with Spug.
You give me my man crush. That's awesome. Of course you know I'm going to vote for my man crush.
There you go.
I will say this, though, that nobody has cashed in less for their opportunity at WrestleMania when winning the Royal Rumble than Triple H. Or at least because it seems that he may not win it, but he's always at the main event, and he never wins. Except for last year. He finally won the... The championship at Mania. The year he won the Rumble, and I think he's only won once, was the year he came back from his quad tear. And I remember that Raw at Madison Square Garden when he came back, and that crowd just erupted, and it was nuts. I mean, it was absolutely insane to hear that crowd go ballistic for him. Lex Luger, on the other hand, you know, is the very definition of a roided-up freak. He spent time in jail. If you look at him now, he can't walk without a cane because of what steroids have done to his body. I have no love lost for Lex Luger for helping kill off Miss Elizabeth, be it by his actions of getting her hooked on the drugs or you know, legitimate accusations. But Triple H, hands down.
There you go. One up from Triple H. We got a caller on the phone. I'm going to guess this is Randy.
Yeah, you damn right it's me.
All right, Randy, speak up. What can we do for you tonight in the middle of the great debate?
All right. I was listening to the archives last week, and I heard, and I probably should have said this, there should be some requirements for it. So... what y'all pretty much said, it's what they did in that Rumble, like the year they won it. The WrestleMania, what they did they do something with the Rumble win? Like, did they let either one in the main event or whatever? And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are the main ones. Just
So the requirements that we said last week.
Pretty much. I'm pretty, yeah.
All right. We set it out according to your email, Randy. So who are you picking tonight, Triple H or Lex Luger?
I had to go with Triple H on this one because it was hard for me to put in Luger because, of course, he and Bret Hart tied for the Rumble. But one of the other things, the three people that I did leave out of there, because Luger actually went on to WrestleMania, at least, and fought Yokozuna but the first match. But then if he didn't get drunk and spoiled away the result, he might have had the title. But that's another story. But yeah, Triple H hands down because one, he won 2002. That was his first match back. He did pretty good in the Rumble, a great Rumble at that too, with Mr. Perfect and Goldust among some of the returns. And he won his match at WrestleMania up against Chris Jericho for the Undisputed Title. He did Hogan the next pay per view, but nonetheless, he won the Rumble that year. Pretty much, 2002 was pretty good year for Triple H, and that's another requirement. What they did that year, in general, that they wanted.
He was out for the majority of 2002.
He was out in
02.
He was out in 01. 02 was when people started to hate him because he was, because when Bischoff gave him the world title and then all that.
All right, and the other match, we'll let him pick the other match, too?
Well, not right now. We're going to finish going around for this round. So, Mace, Triple H versus Lex Luger.
I'm going to give it to Triple H because I can't even remember Lex Luger winning the Rumble. I had to go on Wikipedia to remind myself what year he actually won it.
Okay, there you go.
That's how much I do not remember it.
There you are. Yeah. Okay, Omega.
I've never been a fan of Luger. Based purely on that, I cannot vote for the man, but just for some credible reasoning, at least Triple H, something came of his Rumble win, and it was a better Rumble win. That does stand as the longest Royal Rumble of all time, so to have won it does accomplish something.
And where did he come in that Rumble? He came in late.
He came in like in the 20s.
He was 22.
There we go.
Okay.
I couldn't remember where he came in. I'm sorry.
Well, now you know. So looks like it's shaping up to be Triple H's night here, Will.
Had my mic muted.
Oops.
Yeah. Anyone who would ever think of voting for... what's his name? Lex Luger is an idiot. Triple H, just easily, because it was his big emotional return to the WWE. He came back, and he got that big win. He got his Royal Rumble win to go against Chris Jericho, who was over there being his ex-wife's dog walker. Not only that, and, you know, he actually went to WrestleMania and won. And Spug, what'd you say about Triple H, like, doing bad at WrestleMania?
He usually does. I think the last 4 years, aside from last year, he hasn't won in the main event if he's been in it.
Before that, he won the main event at 16-1, 18-1. He was in Raw's main event at 19-1. 20, he lost. 21, he lost. 22, he lost. Cena and everyone lost. He was injured at 23. He got kicked in the head at 24. And for someone who's in the main event so often, he does do pretty bad.
See, I told you.
Biggest main event loser of the last decade, Triple H, nonetheless.
Shawn Michaels, despite being called Mr. WrestleMania, actually has one of the worst WrestleMania records.
Yeah, this is true. There you go. But Triple H moves it on over Lex Luger. I'm picking Triple H. It's a clean sweep here. You know, say what you want about Lex Luger. Look at whatever accusations you want. He was never, ever, first off, the star of Triple H was. His win was tainted, as far as I'm concerned. It just can't stand up to the win that Triple H had. Like it was longest rumble in history. It's his comeback, blows the lid off the arena, so it says Cowboy Chick. I remember that. Absolutely everybody went apeshit when he showed up, and they tore the house down when he won. Very emotional moment, and just that alone is enough to pick Triple H over Lex Luger. So it's a clean sweep.
Well, I mean, it was January 9th at Madison Square Garden, and how can you forget hearing that first power chord of Motorhead and Lemmy Kilmore laughing, and then you just see him come out and he's spit in the water? Jesus, I want to jizz in my pants right now.
Whoa.
Okay, time to move on to the next one before Spud winds up making his ceiling extremely sticky.
Really?
There you go. Triple H defeats Lex Luger. The next matchup in the WTR squared circle, Brock Lesnar takes on Bret the Hitman Hart. And I'm going to start with Will tonight.
I'm going to have to go with the role of Mace here in that I actually forgot that Brock Lesnar had won the Royal Rumble. That's a very impressive win, ain't it? Shit.
That was back in 2003, and he had the 29th entrance. Of course you're going to fucking forget it.
Spud, you were going to say something?
Antonio.
Years, that was like, fuck, dude.
Antonio just messaged me on Skype. It said Luger walks with a cane now because of a stroke he had in 07, not because of steroid usage. He attributes the stroke to the amount of steroids he did, dude.
There you go. So, continuing on, Will.
And of course, after Lesnar, I remember what he did at that WrestleMania. I just forgot he won the Rumble. You know, that's a great thing for him. But everyone remembers the big Lesnar moment at WrestleMania where he botched the shooting star press and turned it into a flipping headbutt. Into the mat.
Features on many, many Don't Try This at Home commercials afterwards.
Yes, yeah. Very many. Oh shit! What did Bret Hart do when he won? Was that for Mania? Did he win?
This was 94 when Bret Hart and Lex Luger were considered co-winners of the Royal Rumble. WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, and Yokozuna had to face both of them. What did Bret do?
Bret
went up against
Owen
first
in the opening.
Yeah, and then Bret won and went. Up against
Bret won at Mania 10?
Yeah, Bret won the title at Mania after losing to Owen in one of the opening matches.
I'm going to have to say Bret Hart. One, he's easily the bigger star than Lesnar. Two, I actually forgot Lesnar won the Rumble. while both men won at WrestleMania, Bret Hart did double duty at WrestleMania, and that speaks for itself.
There you go.
And I'm going to, Bret Hart.
One for Bret Hart. Randy, before we let you go, pick him, Brock Lesnar or Bret Hart, and why?
All right, this is a hard one because I look at what they did in the year alone, too, was pretty hard. Like, you look at Lesnar, who, he won the Rumble, just his whole career there was pretty huge, especially 03. He held the title for a little. He was usually holding the WWE title most of the year. So did Bret Hart in 94. But it's a hard one to go with because at first I was thinking to go with Lesnar, but I don't know when I think about what Bret Hart did in 94, too, I'm going to have to go with Bret Hart on this one.
There you go. 2-0, Bret Hart. Randy, thanks for calling in, and thanks for sending us this great debate. You're always welcome to call us anytime. That being said, we're going to be moving on now, man.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Once again, Randy from El Paso, he's the guy that sent us in this particular great debate, like I said, about 5 fucking times already. If you have a great debate idea that you would like us to do, email us at admin@wildtalkradio.com with your great debate idea. The greatest what of all time. That's all you got to do. Omega, your turn.
Okay, again, I cannot in good consciousness pick Brock Lesnar, mostly because he's a fucking idiot. But aside from that, I know, legitimate reasoning. He was the up-and-coming star. He was 29th in the Rumble. I don't think it was any big surprise that he won it or that he moved on to Mania. Big whoop. Not a whole lot. Not very interesting. Bret Hart, on the other hand, the co-winner was a little bit of was a big change at the time. So that was fresh. And it set up so much better down the line. Him losing to Owen only to win the title afterwards. That set up tremendous fodder for their ongoing feud and really played off a lot better than Brock Lesnar winning the title. So, yeah, got to be Rhett.
There you go, Bret Hart. We're going to go to Mace.
For me, it comes down to where they were in the Rumble. You know, Lesnar was 29, Bret was 27. Personally, I hate the fact when people that low in the number count actually win the damn thing, because it seems like a real fucking cop-out. And especially, like Omega said, you know, Lesnar coming in at 29, you knew he was going to win it because there was practically nobody left to take him out.
And The Undertaker was the last guy he eliminated in that match.
Exactly.
When was the last time you've seen The Undertaker try and pick up anybody the size of Lesnar?
When they were feuding.
I stand corrected.
There you go.
Got schooled by a redneck. My God. I'm shocked.
Sorry, Mace. Go on. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
I know. Dude, I'm in shock. Congratulations. Well done.
Not been a fan all my life for nothing.
Yeah, but you're too young, Will.
my generation. Oh, why are we ruining wrestling? I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone born before 85.
Okay, I'll just throw whatever train of thought I had out the window, because basically Will hit it with a hammer and it's gone that way anyway, and just choose Bret Hart.
There you go. Okay. This is going to be, I don't know, quite possibly painful. Spug? I'm going to pick Lesnar. And it's not because it's Bret Hart. It's not. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Bret Hart. Listen, if it were Bret Hart versus Luger, I'd have picked Bret Hart. If it were Bret Hart versus anybody else, I probably would have picked Bret Hart. The fact is, it doesn't matter where they came in at, because Lesnar came in at 29, Bret Hart came in at 27. Lesnar had to deal with The Undertaker was the last person he put out. At that time, Undertaker was still a viable candidate for heavyweight champion. In the WWE, he also he also was a lot healthier then. With Bret Hart, the year he and Luger co-won the Rumble, and the year they went to WrestleMania, that was the year that Bret Hart got the salt in his eyes from Yokozuna and ended up losing that match to Yokozuna. And who came in and saved the day? Hulk Hogan.
WrestleMania?
It was that WrestleMania. People
no,
forget
it wasn't.
That. Yes,
no,
it was.
WrestleMania 9, Bug. WrestleMania 9.
The year that Bret Hart wrestled Yokozuna for the title was
WrestleMania 9.
That was the year that Bret Hart and Luger won the Royal Rumble together. That was that year. That was that year.
But Hart got the salt to the eyes.
Yo, GD, I'm looking at the results right now. Bret Hart defeats Yokozuna. WrestleMania goddamn 10.
Bret Hart got shown up by his Royal Rumble win. His Royal Rumble win by Hulk Hogan the year before. Okay? Bret Hart didn't do shit with his Royal Rumble win.
he won the title.
He won the title, you moron. Didn't do shit! He's a fucking Canuck!
And now we get to the root of the matter.
There we go. You know what, Spud? You're such an idiot that your vote's tossed right out in favor of Reigns.
Fuck you!
See, I was going to help Spud and say that the year Lesnar won the Rumble, he had also faced the Big Show on the first match of the card to get into the Rumble. But
that's right, he did. That's right, he did. We all know you're going to vote for Bret Hart anyway, so why don't you suck his dick some more, Tim, and vote for him? I vote for Bret Hart because he deserves it, not because he's Canadian. Not
bullshit!
Calgary. I am able to look at shit objectively, unlike the Ohio ass. Shut up, we got a caller on the phone. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
Happy New Year, you guys. It's Lisa's Destiny.
Hello, Lisa. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And they call one of my favorite TV personalities. How you doing?
How you doing? Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Tim?
There you go. Well, we're in the middle of doing a webcast, and we're yapping about, the greatest Royal Rumble winners of all time. Do you have a choice between Brock Lesnar and Bret Hart?
Actually, I got to answer to both of the matches that you mentioned before. If I had to choose between Lex Luger and Triple H, I go Triple H because I've known Triple H a little bit more than Lex Luger. But if I had to choose right now between Bret the Hitman Hart and Brock Lesnar, let me explain first. I will pick this guy because he was a great technician in the ring. He knew what he was doing. He had a way with the fans. Fans flocked to see him from miles away. And even though I'm going to hurt my possible friendship with Spud, I am going with the person I know more of than the other, and that is Bret the Hitman Hart.
There you go. So, Spud, the lone dissenter on the final one, Bret Hart moves on. And I hope that he just keeps going just despite Spud, because he's an asshole. Thanks for calling, Lisa. Really appreciate it, hon. I hope to talk to you in real soon sometime, but we got to get moving on here.
I will. And, Spud, if you want to talk over our differences on Skype, you know where I am. Give me a call, and we'll try to work out our little feud, if you know what I mean.
Ooh. Go fuck yourself.
Ooh.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, that's harsh.
He's playing. Anyway, thanks, Tom. We got to move on. All right. Fun. Well, there you go. Miss Destiny schooling Spud on WTR. 3, 2, 1. There you go. So, moving on in round two of the great debate, Triple H and Bret Hart. Everybody, we're going to do
We this. Have a caller!
We have a caller! Oh, we got another caller. I only thought we had one caller. Hey, caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
What the hell were you talking about, Spud? Bret didn't win at night.
There you go.
Get out of here!
Get out of here! You get!
I was Yokozuna that one in 93.
Get out of here! Spud refuses to listen to reason. Okay, get hung up on. Sorry about that, Randy. I'm not in control of the board tonight, but I know you're listening.
I get WrestleMania 9 and 10 mixed up all the time. I really do.
And for that very reason, we're going to have to stop talking about WrestleMania 9 and 10 just because you're fucked up. Anyway, there
no,
it is.
Seriously, it is. I do. I always think that 10 was the outside one. I for whatever reason.
For some reason, I always think 9, the Roman one, was like 11 or something.
That's the thing. I always thought number 9, which was at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, was WrestleMania 10. For whatever reason.
I remember 10 because of the ladder match between Ramon and Michaels.
Oh, by the way, can we move on from that? Because I'm getting flashbacks of... of Mean Gene in the friggin' toga.
By the way, Bret Hart...
Get those images out of my head.
By the way, Bret Hart came in
at 27. Okay, the last three entrants after him were Fatu, Marty Jannetty, and Adam Bomb. That's the big powerhouses right there.
No career.
Wah. It doesn't matter. He moved on. And so will...
He's going to lose next week, so it doesn't matter to me. He can fucking suck a dick.
Can we have any other callers before Tim goes on?
No more callers. We've got no more callers coming on. We're going to take a break because we got to throw some ice water, dump some ice water on Spug. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night right here. Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a little bit of roundtable, some quick hits, and if we got time, I'm going to do some a mind-blowing experiment. Well, you'll find out on the other side of the break. Just stick around. We'll be right back.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man. I see the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Come on, I'm just joking. But listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. Right? We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we got a couple of things that we got left to do here before we call it a night. Guys, gals, everybody, we've got coming up WTR Quick Hits, and we're going to try a little mental experiment that I think might be interesting. But before we do that, some really, really quick news of the week, I guess you can call it, with the WTR Roundtable. Sorry, no intro music for that. But kicking off, guys, WWE star Randy Orton facing a court hearing after allegedly spitting gum in the face of a juvenile fan in the Boston area. According to WickedLocal.com, the 15-year-old fan told police that Orton reacted angrily to a request for a photo outside Kowloon Restaurant. Now, the fan claims he took a photograph of Orton in the parking lot, then asked him to pose for another. And he alleges that Orton spat his gum at him and called him a derogatory name. When the boy's mother approached Orton, he allegedly said, "So, sue me."
First of all,
and that's what they're doing.
First of all, it's in Boston. Those people are barely, they're not even subhuman. They're beyond subhuman. They're fucking pond scum. And second of all, again, it's fucking Boston. Who gives a fuck? No, really. Yeah, who gives a fuck? I hate Boston to begin with, and
rivalry.
Really, no, I just hate Boston. I that city could explode in a giant nuclear meltdown, and I would probably sit in front of my television and cheer. But Randy Orton's a heel. He's being booked as a heel. I wonder if, quite honestly, if he was trying to keep kayfabe in public. Because if he was, good on him.
And if he wasn't?
Good on him again.
I'm surprised he just didn't shit on the kid and be done with it.
Oh.
There you go. Bottom line, you know,
did the
like
kid have a bag on him?
Shit in the bag. There you go.
It wasn't kid email, that's why.
Yeah, there you go. If Randy Orton was just playing his heel character, he went a little too far, guys.
I've heard often he's a jackass.
You know.
But there's also the other side of the coin. I'm sorry to cut you off, Tim, but
no, you're not.
Fans pursuing wrestlers, yeah, you're right, well, pursuing wrestlers after the event, as they're going to their cars and everything, these guys are tired after the show. All they want to do is go back to the hotel, put their feet up, crack open a couple of beers, and relax. To have hundreds of people rushing after you and hounding you, oh, can you do this, can you do that, da-da-da-da-da, after you've just put on a fucking 3-hour show for them, it does get annoying. And to be honest, I don't blame guys like Jericho or Orton that react this way, because if any of us were in their shoes and were in the exact same position, we would do the exact same damn thing. The only thing that Orton did different was he turned around and he said, "So sue me," and these idiots do.
He called the kid a fag!
I was going to say, yeah, Jericho had a similar situation with a... Well, not similar, but I mean, he had an altercation with fans, what was it, last year?
He punched a bitch.
Donkey punch.
Was she fat? First of all, was she fat? I can't remember if she was fat or not.
No, she was not fat.
You and your obsession with fat chicks.
Was she wearing... Rock, play the clip. Play the clip. No, he didn't have it ready.
Oh
boo. And the other thing...
She big bone.
Was she wearing a Jeff Hardy t-shirt? Because if she was, she really didn't have to get punched.
All right. So moving on from that one.
Okay, I want to say one more thing. Tony has brought up in the chat room that they're professional athletes. They should know to expect it and deal with it and just do what's right. I'm sorry, Tony, but when you get done slinging burgers at the fucking McDonald's that you work at, do you really want people telling you to go and cook some more?
Fuck no.
Fucking retard.
Well, here it is.
That's a weird comparison.
Yeah. To be fair, if this was anybody else, I'd probably give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's exaggerated. But you know, ever since shitting in a diva's bag, he's kind of got a reputation that he's built himself. So I'm hard pressed to defend the guy.
You know what? Bitch deserved it. She wouldn't go get him a sandwich.
There you go. Anyway, he said, she said. I will agree with Mace. Especially with a certain celebrity, I guess you could say, at one point in time said that stardom sort of lost its appeal when somebody followed this person into the bathroom and slipped a piece of paper and a pen under the stall asking for an autograph while said celebrity was in the middle of voiding the bowels, as it were.
What? Now, you lost me with all the doublespeak.
Okay. Well, how did that lose you? A certain celebrity said that fame and stardom lost its appeal when they were hounded for an autograph while taking a shit. Somebody followed them into the can
what
and slipped
celebrity?
A piece of paper and a pencil under the stall door.
What celebrity?
It's irrelevant. The point is,
no,
AKA
not
Alzheimer's keeps him from remembering.
No. It is irrelevant. The point is,
who
celebrity.
Was it?
No, Shut up.
No, okay, it's
not irrelevant.
By telling me no when I tell you to shut up, shut up. I am saying it doesn't matter who the celebrity is. It's just a point to illustrate the thing.
Look, if Courtney Love said that, then it's not valid because she's a fucking cunt to begin with. But if somebody like, we'll say John Cena said that, because John Cena is, you know, one of the fan favorites and is requested by everybody to come sign autographs and come do this. And he does it all the time because he's very appreciative of it, no matter how much we hate the man. Then it makes that valid. So it does matter who the hell said that.
Well, it was Marlo Thomas, by the way.
In the overall scheme of things, it doesn't matter who said it. The fact that the matter was, it's a celebrity who said it, who was expressing the downside of that celebrity status. And yeah, it was Marlo Thomas who said it. She was an actress from the 60s and 70s who played in a TV sitcom called That Girl. She is the daughter of comedian Danny Thomas. The most recent thing the guys like you might recognize her as, she played Rachel's mother on Friends.
You're kidding, right?
Yeah, again, no, that makes all of that irrelevant.
It doesn't
because
make
it was irrelevant. She's nobody.
It doesn't make any of it irrelevant. She's less of a nobody than you are, that's for goddamn sure. It doesn't make it irrelevant at all. She expressed what the majority of the, the movie star celebrity community feel. She wound up being the spokesperson for it. Anyway, moving on. Is Jeff Hardy in deep shit or what? Scheduled to go on trial on March 17th in Moore County, North Carolina. A new charge has been added, gang.
Another felony.
Felony charge. Conspiracy to traffic opium related to Vicodin.
Hey, I hear the Golden Corral Buffet is going to have a candlelit vigil. And a special buffet the day of Jeff Hardy's court hearing up here.
Cool. Full of fat people, right?
Indeed.
Yeah,
full of fat chicks.
I bet TNA was just raving over, oh, look, we got Jeff Hardy in our company. Oh, he's going back to court.
Oh, shit, he's going to prison. So everybody, just so you know, most of the shit Spug says does not necessarily reflect any of the thoughts or opinions of the rest of us. There you go. I paraphrased it, and I had to get it out there. Is he going to jail, guys?
Yes.
For for a very long time. And guess what? Guess what? I'm pretty sure there's a fat dude who is a fan of Jeff Hardy in prison. Oh, God, karma is great. Yes!
I'm going to paint your face, boy.
No.
Oh!
Wait till you see my swanton.
Yeah, they're about, they're about to completely redefine the term swanton bomb. There you go. The Rock, is he coming back to the WWE?
Who the fuck cares?
As soon as Vince adds another zero to the check.
He's been yapping about he was supposed to do it last week but couldn't because he's promoting his new movie, The Tooth Fairy, where he dons wings and plays a fairy.
A tooth fairy who is a hockey player. Oh, that's a great concept, Disney. Hey, Rock, where's your movie career going now? You've been in, what, 3 Disney movies? Go suck a dick.
Here you go. Bye, Rock. We don't fucking care. You moved on. So did we. We don't care if you show up in WWE ever again. We got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, gentlemen. Have me Mr. Rocky from Michigan. How you guys doing?
Holy
shit. Oh, my God.
Shit.
How you doing,
man? The man and the puberty left behind. What the hell?
How you doing, Will?
What are you talking about?
This is
my unique voice here. Come on.
Will, don't you, or Mace, don't use big words in front of Walkie. His balls haven't dropped yet. He doesn't understand them. All right, everybody shut up.
That.
Everybody shut up and let Walkie talk. Walkie talkie. Hickly dickly, Walkie.
Oh, God, you have to bring that up every time. To go. Come on, get with the times.
Hey, man, it's still real to me, damn it.
Well, I just want to call, I don't know, a little previous subject you guys talked about, but first I just want to make a comment. I happened to tune in not long ago in the previous segment, and, Spud, I got to ask you, are you drunk?
No, I hate Canadians. Is there?
Oh.
He's not drunk.
Your favorite theme song playing Canada or something? It's like, man.
No, I hate Canadians.
With a trade dog or something like that.
I hate Canadians. Ask anybody on this network. I have a vitriol for Canadians.
Yeah, this is completely natural rage for him.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, did you catch the pay-per-view tonight, Walk?
Yes, I did. I kind of caught early what you guys talked about. I didn't know what your guys' full opinion is, but I liked the pay-per-view. I thought it was a really enjoyable wrestling pay-per-view that kind of seemed refreshing from TNA. I'm really happy. I think it's a good start of the Hogan Bischoff era.
Oh,
and I thought all around was a good pay-per-view.
What do you think of them getting rid of the six-sider for the squared circle?
Six-sider? Well, I think it's a good move. Everything I've seen from, like, the IWC, the wrestling world, is, like, not everybody liked it. There are people that did like it and people that didn't like it. And, you know, I thought it was a good idea. I like the squared circle because it's a traditional ring that, you know, it's just like, why not? And I like it. It didn't bother me that much because I think it's a good change.
Oh, there you go.
Are you fucking high?
It's Walkie. He works at the pickle factory. Yes, he's high. You know what kind of chemicals they put in pickles? Hey, Walkie, you don't still work at Vlasic's, do you, Walkie?
I still work at Vlasic's, yes. I now happen to make relish these days.
All right.
Oh, fuck relish.
Jesus.
No, it's not gross. Come on.
No, you still work with all the damn chemicals. There you go. Yeah, most of it vinegar. Anyway, Walkie, you know, really good to hear from you again. Hope that you keep coming around more and more as the weeks go on. Thanks for calling in tonight, man.
Yeah, you guys take care. So this guy coming in to give you guys a shock or something like that. All right, I'm out.
Okay, thanks a lot. Hey, yeah, William Walkie Walker. Hey, he's old school listener from years back with both the original Rust Talk Radio and Wrestling News Live, and he's going to be back around again. He's a great guy, despite what everybody says. And seriously, on a serious note, Walkie, I hope that you reach puberty soon. We're pulling for you, man.
I hate that girl.
And I thought Spug was being mean.
You know, the first time I met Walkie was on the episode of WNL when Trey and JSK came home from that concert and went on for an hour and a half drunk on the air.
Yes.
Wasted News Live. I named it Wasted News Live.
Yeah.
But they show me and Walkie were stuck on the phone as Trey and JSK beat the shit out of each other in their studio. And I'm like, who the fuck is this chick? What the hell is she calling in?
I thought it was Walkie, yeah.
I thought that was Walkie from Michigan.
But, Walkie's a great guy, and it's really nice to hear from him again.
Let me just say, I was just playing around. Walkie, whoever you are, thanks for calling in. I'm an asshole.
Well, just because Spug's an asshole.
We all are.
I'm drunk.
Not. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, Spug doesn't have the corner on being an asshole. Anyway,
oh,
guys.
Oh, I do.
Will, you're going to love this. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that John Cena is apparently being plagued with some back problems at the moment with bulging discs. This more than likely explains why he is not wrestling Sheamus at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship, which is a spot that is now given to Randy Orton, as Sheamus versus Cena was the original plan. But there's no word right now if he plans on missing any more time in the ring as a result. And go ahead, what do you think?
Well,
you would think I would love it, but despite my anger at John Cena being at the position he's in, I have never wished the man serious physical harm. And I know what back problems do to people. My mom has had a herniated and bulging disc, and I see that every day. And it's terrible to watch what someone goes through with back pain like that. And despite my constant wishing that John Cena would get out of the title picture and all my rage, I actually hope that he can get over this without the oftentimes crippling pain that can come from back injuries.
There you go. Anybody else has any opinions on Cena not doing this shit?
Fuck him.
Straight to the point.
Fuck John Cena.
I thought that was so appropriate after such a nice way of. It was very surprising that Will was being that cordial and that supportive. Fuck him.
Yeah,
I'm humane, but I still hate the motherfucker.
All right. So there it is, the quick news headlines of the week. Now we got a choice, guys. We can go right into quick hits right now. Or I can try to spellbound somebody in the chat room. And
you can do what?
It's a little thing I got cooked up here. It's a bit of a mind trick, and we can have the chat room play along. We can do that now, or we can do that after the quick hits.
Let's just do the quick hits. Come on.
All right, quick hits it is, and then we'll do what I like to call Tim Stein's mindfuck.
Let's
and you'll
do
find
it.
What?
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for You quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, here it is. Quick hits on Wrestle Talk Radio. For those of you who might be tuning in for the very first time and haven't caught us doing this, one, you know, pretty much normal answer, and one pretty much not so normal answer, and each host gets a couple of seconds there to answer. So we're going to start off at the top, and this one is for Mace. Oh, by the way, Mace, guys, Omega, Spug, Will, anybody I may have missed. There are a couple of TNA questions in here, so just to pre-warn you. And
I wonder who's going to
my luck, it'll be a bloody question about Ken Anderson tonight, and that'll really fucking make my day.
Here we go. So, starting at the top of the list, Mace.
What?
How would... Ken Anderson. No, I'm kidding. How would WWE benefit if SmackDown switched from being pre-taped to being live?
How would they benefit? They wouldn't bloody benefit. It'd be the same crowd, just on a different night, and they'd all be bored to the fucking shit house. Next!
All right. There you go. So there's your answer. Omega!
Mm-hmm.
It's been acknowledged WWE is killing the name ECW. What would be a good name for the show, and how should it be showcased?
Oh, my God.
Didn't I get this question, like, 2 months back?
You did! Everything old is new again.
See, the hard part would be what you... See, I'm trying to think of something like... I think the name I threw out first was WWE Extreme, which would allow them to keep hold of that belt without really changing it. But the more I think about the ECW product right now and how it's being done, I'm more inclined to call it something along the line of WWE Generation. It does seem to bring... some of the more classic stars like Regal, like Christian, and mix it in with all the up-and-coming guys who are just now getting some TV exposure and getting to know the wrestling audience. So I'd probably go that direction with it.
I don't know. You call it Generations, and I might get it confused with Captain Kirk and Captain Picard.
Okay, first of all, Tim.
Yeah?
Everything that's old is new does not include you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will's last appearance on Wrestle Talk Radio.
No, we're keeping that man around.
All right, Buck, your turn. If TNA keeps going live once a month on Monday, starting in March, how should they go? Should they go head to head with Raw or start an hour earlier?
You know what? Go head to head. Go ahead, 9 to 11. Head-to-head with Raw, because that way, in a month or two, when your company's failing, we won't have to deal with you anymore. So do it. Go ahead. Go head-to-head. Let there. Vince buy you out sooner.
Okay. Will, here's your question, and it concerns John Cena.
My first of my last two questions.
Yeah, the first of your final two questions. With John Cena suffering back injuries and Randy Orton scheduled to take on Sheamus at the Rumble, if Randy wins, should they book Kofi Kingston in a program with him for the belt?
No, because this entire time they've done nothing but bury Kingston. Has he even had one win against Orton? Exactly. No one knows. Oh,
if you call the beatdown a win.
Oh. When Cuban counted the shoulders, I didn't see that episode. I think that was during my boycott.
It could have been.
Every time I've seen the two in the ring, all their big pay-per-view matches, except for the Royal or the Survivor Series, where Kofi got the win, Kofi has gotten his ass kicked. Unless they do something this Monday night, there's just no reason to. They need to find someone else, because, you know what? I'm honestly tired of it. They have botched Kofi's push horribly.
Okay, there we go. And now, second round of questions. Did I miss anybody? Everybody got asked the first question. Okay. Second round of questioning, starting with Omega this time. Omega, you've got 60 seconds to say 5 nice things about Spug.
Can I have longer?
No. Seconds. Got to come up with 5 things. Ready, and go.
Okay, let's see. Number one, he makes a good host on OTL. Number two.
Really? You can't think of 5 fucking things? You fail me.
Maybe I'm just making you sweat a little bit. How about that?
That's fine. Fair enough.
Number two, I very much respect his attitude that has absolutely no shame attached to it whatsoever.
Okay. 3. You're running out of time, son. Step it up.
I'm trying here. This is harder than it sounds.
Or he bagged a hot-ass wife.
Read our chat.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I did bag a hot-ass wife.
Thank you, Rock. Yes, he's very good at painting models, which
okay.
We don't promote that service anymore.
That's three. You got two more to go. And time's already out.
Number four.
Come back to him at the end of the show.
He's very good at insulting you, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll hesitantly give you that one. Number five.
Personally, I think he adds a much needed amount of anger to this show that I very much enjoy.
Yes. Okay. There he. So, Will, the next question is yours. Will, if you had
if
to
this
give
is that name five things about John Cena again, I will kill you.
Not a hope in hell. If you had to give Mace an award for something, what category would it fit into?
What the shit?
Yes. Congratulations, Mace. You won the What the Shit Award.
Let's see. The award for the coolest and only Ozzy I know.
Okay.
Wait, you fuck Nick.
Yeah, fuck Nick. Fuck Nick.
That's different.
Different. Yeah, there we go. Of course, he'll probably get an instant message about that later.
My friend didn't even know he was Australian. Oh, Nick? You didn't know Nick? Well, no one knows Nick about anything.
There you go. Okay. Let's see. Next one here. Spug.
Yeah.
The weirdest, strangest, dumbest thing you can think up as a wrestling gimmick that you would actually do.
That I would actually do? I've done it.
What?
I wore a Halloween mask from the 70s, put on a blue jumpsuit, and said I was from the insane asylum. And it got over bigger than John Cena. I've done it.
So you combine Jason with Michael Myers.
Where do you think I got the name from? That's how I got the name Spug. That was my old gimmick.
Well, there you go. Okay, so final question of the night, guys, goes to Mace. If you had the chance to go to TNA, if
I
you
knew
had
it.
The chance to go to TNA, gift wrap for you, you know, the opportunity is gift wrap, and in it, you had to do a crazy man gimmick that entailed running around the ring naked, in quotations, like Spanky did in WWE. Would you?
You know what? I'm going to say yes, just because the fact that I get a chance to stab Ken Anderson in the gut about 20,000 times before shoving his own dick in his mouth, pulling it out his asshole.
And there it is.
All right, now be honest.
What?
I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me.
All right, an answer that doesn't involve me absolutely killing Ken Anderson, I would still say yes, because the way that they do it is that I'd not actually be naked. They'd find some way so I don't actually appear naked.
Or at least they'd
do it. Oh, the chance to get in a TNA is a wrestler. Well, you don't think I'd be willing to do just about anything to get on that type of level.
Would you be willing to... You know what? I'm not even going to go back to the glory.
Do it. Do it, Spug.
I was going to say, would you be willing to line up as a bunch of Weaver School kids were in a glory hole and go to work?
I saw the line there.
Would you be willing to service Lita?
Oh!
Okay, yeah. If you had a lead line...
Yeah, that's fine. Would you be willing to service Tim Stein and Lita?
No.
Yeah, fuck off. All right, so there it is. Quick hits for tonight's show. Normally, this is where we end it. But, guys, we're gonna try something here. I need somebody from the chat room to play along. So those of you in the chat room who wants to give this a shot, just type in the chat, me.
Oh, God.
And you have to know math to be able to do this.
Oh, well, then I'm out.
There you go.
First.
Okay, we're going to get Randy from El Paso to, Randy, you're not calling in, so don't call in. What you're going to do is I'm going to give you a bunch of instructions and you're going to, you're going to find the answers and then you're going to type it out in chat, okay? As soon as you get the answers. So here we go. Randy, pick a number, any number you want, but don't get stupid because you're going to do the math on this. So pick a number and, post it in the chat room. Everybody else play along if you want. What's your number, Randy? Okay, so now that you picked a number, now I'm not watching the chat room anymore, so I'm going to need to get Rock in our little behind the scenes chat to let me know when this is done. I'm going to assume that you've done it. Now, with the number that you chose, double it. So if you pick two, go four, yada yada yada. You get the idea. So take that number and double it. Okay. Now, once that number is doubled, add 8.
Mm-hmm. Riveting.
Okay. Now, divide this number by 2. Okay. Now, remember the number that you started with. Subtract that from the number you wound up with.
Oh, no. I didn't know. Sharon told you all about it, Matt.
Okay, so now I'm going to assume that you're done, Randy, that you're pretty much most of you done. Now, one or two of you might get this wrong, but we're done with math now. So I'm going to assume that most of you got the number figured out, and we're all good to go. Now, when you correspond the numbers with the alphabet, A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, D is 4, E is 5, all the way down the list until you get to Z, being 26, and once you get to Z, then you go double A, double B, double C, yada, yada, yada. So find the letter that corresponds with the number you picked.
Oh, no.
Okay. Now, once you've got the letter, Randy, that corresponds with that number, think of a country that begins with that letter. Okay. Now, Rock's telling me that you picked that that country. Now, take the second letter of that country. Now, right now, I am concentrating. I'm focusing all of my thoughts completely on you, Randy, and everybody else in the chat room playing along. If this works, great. But I'm trying to do some kind of a mental bridge here. Randy, take that second letter of that country's, you know, the word of the country. Take the second letter and think of an animal that begins with that letter. Okay. Now, think of that animal. Think of that animal and think of its color. Okay. And don't bother posting the color. I don't care. Don't post the color of the animal. Just think of the color. You've got the animal and you've got the color in mind. Okay. Are we ready, Rock? Okay, if you'll roll the video, Randy, watch the video very carefully on the Ustream player. Heard you chuckling, Will. Why are you chuckling? Did you play along?
Yeah, and you got it wrong.
I didn't get it wrong. You got it wrong.
What do you mean I got it wrong? You asked me.
You're being a smartass about it. I know you knew about this, so hush. But,
no, I didn't.
How many
people? I had no idea where you were going, but I knew not to pick the obvious answers. I knew not to pick.
That's why I didn't ask you to play along, because I knew you wouldn't pick the obvious answers, dumbass.
That and you picked a different name for Germany, will you, moron?
I know. Hey, he did say it had to be in the right language. He did not say it had to be in English.
Implied that it's English, you moron.
Well, there you go. So anyway,
and speakers and such out there who listen to our show.
Anyway, Randy?
I know it's not Spanish, you fucking cunt. It's an example.
You're a fucking cunt. God, why are you such a dick?
Because you're ready.
Punch him in the balls. I will give you $5. Hey, that's a couple of 40s and a pack of Pall Malls. If you punch him in the dick right now.
You do it. And my fist will go so far up your cunt.
All right, now we don't have the sex talk radio. So, what'd you guys think about that little mind experiment? Now, I'm not asking you on the show. I'm asking the guys in the chat room. Macho Madness failed.
Okay.
Because Macho Madness didn't do it right. But,
yes, blame the listener, Tim.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, yeah, that was a little something I figured out and cooked up. And I actually did that to Rock a little while back. And the only thing I got back from him, I showed him a little thing that I did up as soon as I did it. And two words. Fuck off. It was funny. So, well, that's it. I'm done talking. So,
I swear to God, if you hit me in the balls,
do it, do it. It's a couple of 40 ounces.
Rock, take us
out.
He's
not even 21.
As they're about to fight, take us out. Everybody, you listen to Russ Talk Radio on Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back next Sunday night doing it all over again. Make sure you tune in. That being said, catch all of the programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got Wrestling News Live restarting really soon. Stay tuned for that. Otaku Talk Live Tuesday, Wednesday. Are you doing Burning River Radio, Spud?
Probably not.
Okay.
Not Wednesday. We might be doing it Friday, though. I don't know yet.
Okay. Tune in for Fire on Ice Wednesday night. Talking a little hockey. Thursday, we got Run on the Ropes, and then Anything Goes, provided she doesn't have to work. Friday is Van Cartoon Radio Hour, and then, of course, Saturday, CB Radio. So check it all out, everybody, and have yourselves a great week.
Fuck Mav!
On the show! That's right.
Punch him in the dick!
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.